Where's our deal?
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the current meeting, I guess, of the Bonding Conference Committee. A couple things have happened since we last met in this room. Wednesday, Senator Langseth released an offer at the target of all funds. I guess all funds under $1 billion was his intent, as I understand it. And so we were certainly pleased to see that. And that would then mean that hopefully today the members of this conference committee will be able to come to agreement on a spreadsheet. At least that's our goal. You know, we'll be willing to recess as necessary to accomplish that. Seeing as time is getting short, we released another offer to the Senate yesterday, and I think we're moving forward, and we're hoping to be able to complete our work, at least on this portion of it, sometime today. So I guess that's all I have by means of opening comments. I don't know if anybody else has any comments or suggestions or ideas, but
well, our intention is to go over your proposal, and then if there'll be a recess at some point, we've been working on another proposal, and we will put something together and then probably come back in, you know, certainly by midday or so.
Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate the very strong offer you've put forward. In some of my conversations in the last day or so with some of the senators, we happen to run into each other periodically. There was some discussion about some of the trails, and I'm wondering, Mr. Chair, if there'd be a chance for the DNR or Parks and Trail Council or somebody. I just have some questions. I don't know for sure if I know which ones are state trails, and there's some actually that are not state trails, and some are in planning, some in acquisition. I'm wondering if it's possible we could hear from some of those folks.
I think that's a good idea, and I don't see is Ms. Erickson or someone from the DNR here wants to come down to speak to trails. That's a very good suggestion. Good morning. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members. My name is Lori Martinson. I'm the Director of Trails and Waterways of the Department of Natural Resources. Mr. Chairman, Representative McNamara, I'm sorry I missed the question.
Well, Ms. Martinson, my question would center around, and I'm not sure, Mr. Chair, which I believe some of our earlier spreadsheets actually showed which trails were state trails and which were not. I guess depending on what spreadsheet you want to work off of, my question would be if on the current proposal, we have funded some, and it looks like we've got gaps at the beginning, middle, and end, but now I realize you have them in alphabetical order on this proposal. Could we identify which are state trails, or could someone send us to the document of which are which?
Do you have our latest proposal in front of you? I think what we did there, Representative McNamara, was to work from the list of the Parks and Trail Council, but Ms. Martinson?
Mr. Chair, I can simply go down the list and help the members identify which are local and which are state. Okay. The Agassiz Trail is a local trail. The next local trail is Great River Ridge, and that there's a proposal to have that become a state trail. The Mesabi Trail is a local trail. The three Sioux Line projects that are listed are local trails. The St. Louis River is a local trail, and the Excel is a local trail.
Just real quickly, but Ms. Martinson, some of these, am I right that some of these local trails, it just so happens we have a couple of powerful federal congressmen that have done a great job of getting 85% funding on some projects. I guess even if it's a local trail, if it's eligible for 85% federal funding, we'd hate to send that money back to the federal government and find another spot to spend it. Are some of those that you just read off eligible for that funding?
Mr. Chairman, Representative McNamara, the Mesabi Trail is eligible for federal funding, and the Sioux Line Trail is eligible for federal funding. Which one is mine? Let me just read through.
Sioux Line Trailhead?
The Sioux Line Trail is very broad in the federal legislation.
Will you speak in the microphone a little bit? I didn't hear what you said.
The Sioux Line Trail is very broad in the federal legislation, so I believe all three projects are eligible.
And Mr. Chairman?
Senator Klein,
thank you for elevating me up to the House level. I would just say that the Cuyuna Trail, which is on page 2, that we're both now at 400,000, Congressman Oberstar has $1.6 million in matching money, and all we need to do is come up with 400,000. So it's in my district, in Representative Gazalka's district. Is that a local trail or a state trail?
Ms. Martinson?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Coring, it is a state trail, and yes, it is funded with federal dollars as well.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Langford,
I believe it was in the DNR bill they extended the Heartland Trail to Detroit Lakes and probably even beyond from Park Rapids, and there is a proposal in here for planning money, so that actually is a state trail. I don't know, I suppose that bill hasn't actually passed into law yet, maybe, but it was in the DNR proposal to extend the Heartland Trail. Ms. Martinson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Langstedt, yes, there is a proposal to extend the Heartland Trail.
Okay. Ms. Martinson, was there a request from the agency for funding? Or?
Mr. Chairman, there was not.
Do we have any other questions in the area of trails?
Well, I would just make the comment that what we decided to do was to pick up all the trail funding in both houses. That still is a very, very small part of the bonding bill, as you know, and it seems to buy an awful lot of goodwill. And when I say those trails are very political, I don't mean Democrat or Republican. I mean they're very political statewide, and it really seems strange as we go around the state, it seems like the biggest crowds we get when somebody wants $300,000 for a trail and you've got 40 people with maps and everything else and everybody all excited. So we kind of decided that being it isn't a big chunk of the bill anyway, just to do those proposals. And like you mentioned, the Masada Trail isn't part of the state system, but as I understand, it's the longest trail in the world. You know, so I have asked the people from that area why they didn't get it designated as a state trail. It seemed like if anything should be a state trail, the Masada Trail should be. But we got, I think it's $950,000 for the Masada Trail to kind of finish it off. And like I say, it should be kind of viewed as a state trail, even if it isn't designated as a state trail.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, I also agree that it's really important to take advantage of federal funding, as Representative McNamara said, and I believe there are two other trail-related projects that also have federal funding. I think the Minneapolis Cedar Lake Trail has federal match, and also the Great River Park has federal match. So I'm glad to see that we're funding those projects.
Ms. Martinson, you know, last year we had some local trails in our bill, and it seemed to garner some criticism from Reverend Johnson, and so I guess that's kind of, I was still thinking about his comments from last year on those, but we're certainly open to trying to find the room for him. But Ms. Martinson, you know, the question, certain categories I hear, you know, we shouldn't earmark, we should just let the PCA or the OEA or whoever, you know, assign the money as they see fit. And in other areas, we tend to earmark. What's the DNR's position on earmarks and trails like this? Would you prefer to see earmarks, or would you prefer to see just thousands of dollars? And
Mr. Chairman, that's a difficult question to answer.
I'm sorry?
That's a difficult question to answer. Okay. There's having some flexibility so that we can finish some projects if they come in higher than what the appropriation is, while other projects may come in lower, is really important. But having you set the priorities helps us determine where we should be focusing our efforts.
So you prefer that we set the priorities? Is that the position to be on?
Yes.
Okay, great. All right. Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Martinson, I've now found in my file the Parks and Trails Council list, and it noted, and I'm just going to read off. I want to make sure, as Senator Pappas has said, I want to make sure we capitalize on this federal funding. This is a terrific program. And I see Gitchigami is eligible for 1.7 federal, Cuyuna 1.02, Mesabi Trail. And Mr. Chair, I think it may be valuable after recess if some of this information we could make sure that the members have. Some of this was given to us a month or so ago, and I think this is important that we get this information. It looks like the Sioux Line Trail, looks like the federal overpass, or the overpass is eligible for almost 900,000. I think I might have hit all the ones, though I thought there was one or two other ones. Maybe they're there. That's my one point. I want to make sure that we have met those matches. And then my next point is, as the senators have mentioned, there's some trails not on our list that are not state trails, but I actually think there's some state trails not on our list, which was the Parks and Trails Council priority list, because I think there's some master planning that the DNR is in the midst of doing. Some of that master planning, if I remember right, is a year or two away. So actually, if we bonded this now, does that mean that the money would just sit in the account? Well, these trails that need to be overlaid and patched with holes from years ago, we were running the snowmobiles on the Fall Bunyan, unfortunately, with studs. And now it's a hard time for me to bike or my friends at Rollerblade to get wiped out. We'd like to do a little seal coat or overlay potentially up there. Does that mean we got money sitting in account for future bonds on trails that don't have a master plan yet, but we can't get that overlay done up in Senator Coring, I guess that's north of you. That's Senator Rood's district up there. But Paul Bunyan must reach into your district.
Yeah, actually, Mr. Chairman, we did do an overlay at, in the portion of Paul Bunyan Trail, I believe, because of the studs had tore up the trail pretty good. So,
well, my question, Mr. Markson, is, I guess, just back to, is some of these projects that we don't have included, would it make more sense, it seems, to do the master planning and use that money where it can get on the ground right now?
Ms. Martinson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative McNamara, as far as projects that are currently pending a master plan, we are working on one for Chester Woods. We're working on one for the Minnesota River Trail. One would be needed for the Heartland Trail extension, and one would be needed for the Great River Ridge Trail if that was to become a state trail.
So in the case of Chester Woods, for example, if we include them, what does that mean?
State law requires us to develop a master plan before dollars can be spent for development. So we can proceed with acquisition. We can buy the corridor, but we cannot develop it until the master plan is completed.
Would that be your intent with the language that you're also suggesting? Because I think if you can't complete something, you're going to use the funds in another way? Or?
Mr. Chairman, the master plan process would require a year or two to complete, and I believe the bonding funds would be available for longer than that. So we would do our best to follow the priorities that you established before we would move down.
But if we adopt that language, we do run the risk of, even though we established a priority, not having it spent there. Representative McNamara?
Well, I just want to make sure. So there are, it seems like there's three projects, not on, and I see Ms. Erickson is here now. We need to ask her the question, but they're not on the Parks and Trails Council's recommendation. And I'm wondering, it sounds like the justification may be that we're not quite ready to do those, to put the money in the ground. If we came back in 08 after the master plan, the projects would still happen just as quickly, but we maybe could use that money in some other spots within this bonding bill. Because I think the number that we've reached agreement in, Chairman Langseth and you, Chairman Dorman, could be better spent if the money we're not going to use, I know you said that, is going to go on the ground. And I'm a believer, this literally is talking about on the ground, on the trails.
Representative Broad and then Representative Houseman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm just wondering, the master planning dollars, where do those dollars come from? I assume they're a general fund appropriation, or are you suggesting that we use the bonding dollars for the master planning and acquisition? I'm a little confused at the master planning and where those dollars come from.
Ms. Martinson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Broad, the master plans are funded either through the general fund or the lottery in lieu of my ongoing operations budget.
Representative Representative Broad.
Mr. Chairman and Ms. Martinson, then just to be, just for my own clarification then, if those three projects which are designated for master planning and not quite ready for moving forward are not funded in this or designated in this bonding bill, you still have the ability then to continue on the master planning route, moving them forward in that regard for future bonding. Is that correct?
Ms. Martinson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Broad, as long as they're identified as a state trail, I can continue with the master planning process.
Where do you get the money to maintain trails?
Mr. Chairman, the money for maintaining trails is provided through the general fund appropriation and through a lottery in lieu appropriation.
Okay, and so the agency request that came over for $2 million, that wasn't for maintenance and repair?
Mr. Chairman, that was for rehab projects. We have several projects on trails where we're going to have either catastrophic failure or a situation that will result in safety or health. And so the $2 million is to address those issues specifically.
And so you can't use those other funds for rehab, is that what you're saying? Or why a bonding request versus the funds you spoke of?
Mr. Chairman, the overall operating budget over the last few biennium has been cut in half for state trails, and we have sufficient funds to sweep them in the spring, do some crack repairs, and try and do some mowing to keep the weeds down. We do not have funds to do rehabilitation.
I think in the original Senate proposal, I don't think there was any dollars there for rehab. I think we had $2 million and lost it in an amendment in Ways and Means and went to $1 million. If we were to actually zero that out, what does that mean? What wouldn't get done?
Mr. Chairman, there's, I know it sounds, for those of you who are used to putting in culverts, ridiculous, but there's a $1 million culvert issue on the Munger Trail. The Munger Trail, and those of you who have biked on it, has very steep slopes. The grade was built in the 1800s, you know, and it's steep like 2 to 1 and goes down about 300 feet. There's a couple culverts in there that now are falling in, and the water backs up on the one side, saturates when we have a rain event, and then saturates the entire trail system, and it's slumping. So every time it gets wet, the trails just kind of settle down some more, and the trail is becoming a dangerous situation. In another spot on the Sakata State Trail, we have a sewage lagoon that's part of a trailer park that serves at least a couple hundred folks, and the trail system has changed the flow of the river, and it's now starting to eat away at the toe of the dike on the sewage lagoon. And I need to fix that because now we're going to have sewage dumping into this river. I can't have that happen.
Right.
Those are two examples.
Okay. All right. Very good. Representative Hausman. Were you done, Representative Broad? I apologize. Thank you. Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to go back to Chester Woods because I think committee members may not have heard one part of what you said, and they may have been left with the impression that that you can't begin on that trail. But I heard you say there's acquisition, and that we certainly are ready for. Then the planning, then the development. Is that in order?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hausman, that's correct. I can move forward with acquisition on state trails. I need a master plan in place before development can occur.
And Mr. Chair, I want to thank Representative McNamara. I like this idea of looking at all projects from the perspective of how we can maximize federal funding on each of our lines. This will be a good exercise throughout the day.
I think it's shown. Perhaps later you and Senator Pappas could have a conversation with the St. Paul City Council, too, and they might be interested to think about that.
We have them all on our list, Mr. Chair.
Is anyone else? Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Ms. Martinson, what you just said is curious to me. So we go ahead and acquire things before we've planned them.
Ms. Martin.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Broad, the master plan is regarding what kind of use will be provided on the trail.
So Ms. Martinson, then you acquire the corridor and then determine how to use it after that point. Is that okay?
Representative McNamara.
To that point, Mr. Chair, what if your master plan said that you wouldn't want to buy that part of the land or it needs more or less and you hadn't done that? Seems like we might be putting cart before the horse. I'm trying to think what it would be in the bicycle. It would be something else anyway. The basket before the bike. We're going to get knocked off because of the ruts from the studs on the trail. We've got to be careful how we ride. So,
Mr.
Ms. Martinson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative McNamara, we need to be very careful about how we acquire, but in some cases, like in Chester Woods, the legislature's been very specific about where you want us to go. You know, it's to the city park in Rochester, and so there's a preferred alignment, and if it becomes available, we would move to try and make that happen.
Right. But Mr.
Representative McNamara.
Ms. Martinson, still, so we're telling you where to buy the trail before, you know, if we're a tire dealer, a real estate person, or a landscaper. You might argue the landscaper knows something about trails. The professional people know about the trails. We're going to tell you to go buy it here and then figure out. I bet you'll find a way to make it work if we tell you got to buy it. It seems to me we should be doing some planning. I don't know, Mr. Chair. I just think there was professionals that developed this plan. Sure. Chairman Langseth has brought the point that we got to make sure there's some more, I think, that need to be added here, but I'm a little nervous to just carte blanche saying do them all.
Mr. Chair. Senator Langseth.
You know, in the case of the Heartland Trail extension, for example, that was going to be between Park Rapids and Detroit Lakes. As I understand, just their general idea was that was going to go along Highway 34, but then wherever there were wetlands, it would venture out into the woods and so on. And would we come up with this, the planning for it? And it seemed like you have to have the planning before you have the acquisition, because if you don't have the plan as to where it goes, what do you know what to acquire? And on the Highway 34 right away, of course, that's no problem. That's just working with DOT. But where it goes out, ventures out from that, that you have to have the plan for that before you know what to acquire. Ms. Martinson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Langseth, that's correct. On a longer project like the Heartland Trail Extension, we would need to work with DOT and the local communities and the local landowners and determine what that alignment would be through that master planning process. Sometimes the alignment is obvious, and if it's available, you buy it.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, a few minutes ago you were talking about trail rehabilitation, and was that in the House offer? I don't know where it is, and I'm just wondering if you could point it out to me.
It's in the little scrap.
We lost our numbering system here.
Here.
Put my numbers in. It's shown as state trail acquisition, but I think the long description of that is state trail acquisition and rehabilitation.
Okay, thank you.
I think we're just short, and doesn't come through, but I think that the governor, as he set his proposal up for negotiation, I think he shorted a couple things. He knows we love trails, as Senator Langseth just pointed out, and so I think all he asked for was the money in that area, knowing that we would come back and put trails in. So, Representative Hausman.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we're forgetting one piece in this planning issue, and that is we're often in partnership with local communities on this. And it's not like the state has to decide. Those local communities sometimes have spent years, and they know their area, what's required, to know how to do it better than we because they live there, and that all of that has often been done by a local community. And very often they bring that idea to us, and so it's not like we create that out of thin air.
No.
Mr. Chairman, Judy Erickson with the Parks and Trails Council, I'm sorry I was late, and missed this, but that was part of the reason I came down here, was just to reiterate and say what you just said, is that oftentimes before the trails get to the legislature, either for state trail designation or for acquisition in the next phase, there are many, many volunteers in the local communities that have identified the alignments. They've worked with the landowners, and then they come to the legislature to secure the funding.
Representative Norris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just wanted to ask, as these trails are being acquired, I assume that before any money is spent or landowners are compensated, the entire trail would need to be more or less guaranteed. I know a trail in my district where everything went along pretty good until several landowners decided they didn't want a part of it, so that ended the project. And Senator Langford knows where I'm referring, I think.
Ms. Martin.
And so the trail just disappears. And in that case, no money has been spent, I assume.
Ms. Martin.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, that's actually a very big problem, is working to continue the trail where the legislature has authorized it can be a problem, because if the landowner says no, we can't continue there. So when they do become available, we try and move quickly if we know it's going to make sense to acquire that land.
Chairman.
And I agree with Representative Hausman. It's a local collaboration. I mean, off my way, it's in Woodrow Heights, South St. Paul, West St. Paul, Mendota Heights, Mendota, and you get to the Mendota Bridge, and it's the local governmental units in the counties that coordinate this stuff. So we're not always going to have master plan here because they're doing their homework out there, so in the cities. So,
Representative Brock.
Mr. Chairman and Ms. Martinson, if there's some necessity to move quickly, it would seem to me that for the legislature to appropriate a dollar amount and give you guys the flexibility to know where to move quickly, depending on when real estate comes available, that seems like that would provide that flexibility, as opposed to if we line item everything for you, how doesn't that handcuff your ability to move quickly on some things that maybe we don't know about or maybe weren't deemed to be a priority by this this legislature or the year behind? So when you ask us to set the priorities, that seems to handcuff the ability to do what you just said.
Right. Ms. Martinson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Broad, it's difficult to come in without proposals and not indicating what our priorities are. We haven't gone through our own process to identify what those priorities would be. So what we're doing is trying to then implement what you guys indicate as the priorities should be.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Langsworth.
Mr. Chair, you know, I think when we look at these trails, we tend to think mainly of recreation and exercise and all this and that, but former State Representative John Corbett and his wife own the Heartland Inn in Dorset, Minnesota, which is a little teeny town, and it's a bed and breakfast, and he said there are times cyclists come through, rent the whole inn for like 3 days. They're in the area spending money, and there's much more economics in it than people understand. I think they just figure it's giving people a fun time, but it goes considerably beyond that.
And Mr. Chairman, if I could just expand on that a little bit, I would just say up in the Brainerd area that we've seen a tremendous economic activity because of the Paul Bunyan Trail. A lot of people come up there and access the trail and stay there and buy their stuff there. And so, you know, I think we need to look at this as economic development regionally and statewide, too, I think is an economic stimulus.
Any more trail comments, questions, concerns? Ms. Erickson.
Mr. Chairman, just as a wrap-up, again, I'm sorry I was late, but to the point of the line items and so on and that you asked Ms. Martinson about, Parks and Trails has worked very carefully with local communities throughout the state. Because the DNR has not put forward bonding recommendations in this area, and the local communities for many years have just come through independently, each one. And so we've been trying to coordinate and work with the local communities on these trails. And as you probably discussed, and we've looked at the federal funding, we've looked at where trail projects are ready to go, and we do try to work with Ms. Martinson to make sure that our list also makes sense for them. But that is why there is a list and why there are identifiable trails, because we have worked with citizens throughout the state on their local trail projects, and we're trying to help them be successful down here.
Sure. So, you know, Ms. Erickson, what might be helpful, at some point we're going to recess, but if you could make sure that each member had a copy of your priority list and the dollar amount that fits into that, I think that would be helpful as we try to assemble a bill here today. So.
Thank you, Mr.
Chair.
Senator Manson.
Mr. Chair, well, and, of course, we have looked at your proposal in advance. I guess the one that was a little bit surprising was in Minsk, you were in your $681 million proposal. You had four of the plenty of money for four of the different institutions, and now at the $948 million one, you have eliminated those. And I guess I wonder... Why?
Sure. Well, I think, Senator Langsworth, if you recall, I think we started the first day with we tried to lay a foundation from which to build upon. That didn't seem to to get us anywhere. And so, in fact, we took that and just added everything to the list. And it's certainly easy just to add every project and add every trailer, but it's a little more difficult to set those priorities. And so, as we assembled the final bill, we thought we would go back, and we still think that is the correct priority, but we're certainly willing to look at other things. I would have suggested, Senator Langseth, that you felt that strongly about it, you could have always moved to adopt things too, but I think that you chose not to.
But I think, as I see it, on the GO bonds for Minsk, we are exactly together, it appears, on University of Minnesota. It appears we're about $9 million apart on the Minsk portion of it. Many of those things we've got that you haven't are, of course, fairly small amounts, mostly planning money, and then the acquisition part of it. I guess that's where we're different.
I think we are identical on University of Minnesota. I think the difference might be in what's going to happen with the clinical research building. You know, I thought about that this morning. I thought, you know, originally, as I thought I understood it, the university wanted to do that because it thought it would avoid the 3% debt limit. And since it really doesn't, the new reason seems to be is that we as a committee won't be able to set the priorities properly, or at least that seems to be the concern of the university, is that if you think of that 3% debt service and you think of whatever that total is, which is about $1 billion now, if we would go ahead and set up the authority, the bonding authority, essentially what that does is takes those buildings right off the top and so sort of super prioritizes them. But I think that I understand your concern the more I think about it, because we do seem to have, on a bipartisan, bicameral basis, an inability to set those priorities. And so I think the difference would be, I believe that did pass in the Senate, where, you know, bypassed the bonding committee, recognizing their concern that we can't set those priorities. But I think that is the difference in the University of Minnesota, where we don't intend to do that. Senator Pappas?
Mr. Chairman, I'm really glad you're talking about this, because a couple things I just wanted to say. There was an article in the business section yesterday about how we're falling behind in bioscience. And if we really want to make a difference in our state, for the future of our state, we need to take some bold moves. And that's what I think this university move is. And yes, it is true that it does take money off the top, and I also believe that the 3% is not cast in stone. If we were to do 3.1 or 3.2%, you know, the sky wasn't going to fall. But the important thing is that this is our flagship university. This is our only really, they do 98% of the research in the state. And other states have recognized the importance of bioscience and are making the commitment. And we had a very strong bipartisan vote in the Senate the other day to go ahead and authorize this.
Sure.
And you, Mr. Chairman, you could serve on the bonding authority as well as our chairman could, too. I mean, we do have legislators that are on that authority. We are not leaving legislators out of the loop.
I think they're non-voting members of the authority, though, at least in the last version that I see, Senator Pappas. But we have that ability today. We could say, you know what, we've got our priorities screwed up here. Let's go sit down and put that $40 million project in there and let's take it out of here. And we have that ability. And so I personally look at it as what the university is saying is we don't have the ability. They're saying, boy, that crazy legislature really does not have the ability to get that done. They don't say it quite that way, but that's what I hear their concerns are, is that we cannot prioritize properly.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Pappas.
I think it just is the nature of our bonding cycles. There is a lot of competition, and when you look back to how long it takes to offer to do a new building, you do one cycle, you do planning money, the next cycle you build the building. So it's really taking 4 years to do one building. And if they want to build five buildings, that's going to be 20 years. Whereas with this expedited process, we could get those five buildings built in maybe 8 years. And that's what we really need to do to put the university on the bioscience map.
Right. Senator Pappas, we have that same ability to expedite that process. There's nothing that says we can't put in $40 million every 2 years if that's what we choose to do. I think the other difference is, unless it changed in the Senate, and I don't know, but there's probably a difference in state contribution. I think that the percentage of, you know, I think that you look at normally a two-third, one-third split traditionally, and I don't know if it was a 90-10 or an 80-20 the last time I saw it. So there's a little difference there as well.
Mr. Chairman, you're right on that, and that's just the reality of a research building. They're not going to have students in the building, so that tuition is not, it's not fair that students' tuition should go toward paying part of this building. But they will be managing all the operating costs, you know, paying for all the researchers that could be, you know, we're competing internationally. We bring teams of researchers in from all over the world to do this work.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, I think that particular proposal is probably the only thing I can think of where we would be justified in doing that. If you look at other states, many of them have laid out a 10-year plan. And I think when you, the people in that field look at Minnesota, they're going to be much more impressed if we've laid out this plan. As far as the priorities are concerned, I see no reason why that authorization can't come in the odd years for bonding. Next year, within that 3%, we're allowed $135 million. That proposal would fit very nicely in there and leave quite a lot of extra authorization for other things. So I see a memo from the Department of Finance where they sort of took it off the bonding years, but we do have, keeping within the 3%, $135 million a year in the off years, so I see no reason why the timing wouldn't be such that it would come off in the odd year for bonding.
And I'm not overly sure that the university would be interested in where we can get a moment and talk about the support that other states have given to biosciences, and then ask the next question is, you talk about the overall state support for those same schools, and I think that, you know, and I guess if you're selling a proposal, you're going to talk about, gee, these guys are getting this, and you forget maybe that they're, like I think at Michigan, for example, their contribution from the state is significantly different than our recognition. So you know, as a legislature, as a state, we do recognize, I think, the University of Minnesota in many ways, which is a good thing. I think we should be proud of it, but for them to imply that somehow they're being, you know, ill-treated compared to other states seems a little sometimes disingenuous, knowing what the state and the citizens of the state do for the university relative to some other states for their schools. So you got to look at the whole picture, and I'm sure you understand that. So are there other questions on this university proposal? Apparently there is. Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What does concern me about this is the timing, because the proposals we have before us today, both Senate and House, both give zero to the medical research building. And we haven't resolved this issue of that $330 million. One House has, the other hasn't. But, in fact, we are moving forward with a bonding proposal that presupposes. And I have certain level of anxiety about the fact that we're moving ahead with this decision without having resolved that other one. And I don't know how that timing is going to work out, but my understanding is the House doesn't have it on the table to discuss or move forward with in any way.
You know, Representative Hausman, you know where we're at with and the session coming close, and when I looked at this and I understood what happened in the Senate, this is what we're going to do. I mean, from our standpoint, I don't see us going down that road this year. There's always next year, and then come back and do that. But this, I think, would recognize the University of Minnesota's priorities. Do we recall we had Ms. O'Brien from the university here the other day, and we asked him that very, you know, those questions. Help us understand your priorities, stadiums, medical buildings, and this is what they said is their priority list. And so I'm going to only assume at that dollar level, that is what the University of Minnesota is comfortable with. Senator Langster.
Mr. Chair, I had made the statement I thought that medical building within this bonding bill was the most important part of the bonding bill, but the university, in talking to them, did say that they wanted the priorities that we have here now, with the idea that the authorization would be moving along. You also mentioned that we bypassed the bonding committee in the Senate, and I was the one that said I wouldn't ask for it in my committee.
knew enough about the people on my committee to know it was going to go through there without any problem at all, and we wanted to get it out on the floor and get it passed as early as possible.
Senator, I must have misspoke. I didn't mean you bypassed it this year. The whole process bypasses the bonding committee. What it does in future years for future bonding committees is say, we don't think you're smart enough to be able to figure out the priorities, so you need to do this outside of the bonding committee. That has nothing to do with the process. From my view, I'm thinking, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, however long this is going to run. What it says is, before we do anything, before the bonding committee does any work, this is going to happen regardless of what other priorities are in the state. I'm disappointed personally that the university doesn't think we have the ability to set those priorities. But maybe they're right. I mean, as I look at, frankly, even our offer, sometimes I scratch my head and say, why aren't we putting more money into, we're all, by and large, voted for tougher penalties for people, and all of a sudden we've got a prison shortage, and everyone seems surprised, yet we don't seem to want to find the dollars to do that, or, you know, we're doing arts projects rather than the East Phillips neighborhood, or we're doing bike trails rather than the East Phillips neighborhood. I mean, you know, sometimes I sit back and think that maybe our priorities are that crazy, but I guess that's the nature of the legislative process.
I just have to respond to the lack of funding for prisons. I think it was $98 million last year, and I believe with the Department of Corrections and the Health, I think it's Health and Human Services Department, I think we bumped over $100 million this year, so $200 million in 2 years is hardly slighting our corrections system. We'll do whatever has to be done there to meet the need.
Right. I think what we'll do, we'll finish this segment, and that's probably a good segue into the maybe another area that we should look at, which is corrections. I see that the folks are...
I just have one more request about this, because what I hear now, listening to the two chairs, I hear, though the Senate has moved on that initiative, the House is not intending to, and I'm scanning the audience for the university, and if they're here, I'm missing... Oh, I see somebody. Because I think we would have to really ask them in front of this committee, if that is the case, this year, the Senate is going to move, the House is not, does that change their advice to us? I mean, in terms of priorities, I think we always are partners with the entity that we're funding, and we do take seriously their advice to us about priorities. And I would think that, I mean, I would have a comfort level to be able to know, if they now see this new reality, does it change the advice they want to give us about this year's numbers?
Sure.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, I'm always a little uncomfortable when we're kind of forcing our partners to tell us what your number one priority is. It's like Sophie's Choice. It's like choosing between your three children. Who's your favorite? Because I think especially when you have a large entity like the University of Minnesota, you know, of course they want to serve the academic mission of the university, and they need to have the science building and the classroom building. You know, of course they are also a research institution, so of course they want to do what's absolutely best they can do for research. You know, and of course they have their alumni and their sports program that they want to satisfy, and so of course they want to do what's right for them.
And so, I'm actually not asking for them to talk about priorities. I'm just asking them to give us advice. If there is a new reality that perhaps they hadn't counted on, are they comfortable with zero on that line? I mean, it's just the one piece, not prioritizing projects, but, I mean, at one point we at least had planning dollars in there, and now we don't. So that's the, it's not, you know, forcing a statement about priorities about the whole package, but do we have to rethink that?
Ms. Peterson, you want to come down and comment on that? Certainly not asking you to, well, but you do put out a priority. I mean, they do themselves put out a priority list.
While she's coming down, I just wanted to indicate that I've been quite interested in this whole tough topic of bioscience, and then I visited a cousin of mine who is a bioscientist at Purdue University. So this is close to my heart now. It's in the family, and it's very important. I see.
Sure.
To the university, I understand it better now. So I had a little conversation with Cousin Mark.
Right. Ms. Peterson, I think that basically the question is, you know, we seem to have agreement on the spreadsheet, I think the language that may go with it is where we have a difference. And so the question Representative Hausman had is, do you have any different guidance for us? Because I don't anticipate the House doing the bioscience initiative that you have this year. Given that, in looking at the spreadsheet, do you have any guidance, wisdom, thoughts?
Mr. Chairman, Donna Peterson, University of Minnesota, for the record. Mr. Chairman and Representative Hausman, the short answer is I would reiterate what Vice President O'Brien told you. The listing that you have is the prioritized list that came from the Board of Regents.
And Mr. Chair, just to restate, you may not have heard, I'm actually not talking about priorities. What I'm asking about is we now have zero in the medical research line. And at one point, we at least had planning dollars. And what I was hearing was a discussion between the chairs that seemed to suggest, though the Senate has moved on that $330 million package, the House does not intend to, at least this year. And if that is the case, does the university feel comfortable with a zero line? Because that is what we have before us, both in the Senate and House proposal. So not a question of priorities, but do you have other advice that you would give us on that one particular line, given that timing of this?
Maybe you could talk about when the Board of Regents put together that list that was exclusive or inclusive of the bioscience initiative.
Mr. Chairman, when the original bonding request was put before the Board of Regents, at that time we did not have the bonding authority initially. We had not come up with that idea, and we came up with that idea a little bit later. And, you know, also to say that are we comfortable with zero? No, of course not. We would desperately like to have that building funded as well as the other buildings that are on the list. We go through a process not unlike what you're going through, and the list that's in front of you could have been much longer, but we prioritized it to that. And as Senator Pappas said before, we do research and we do teaching, and we have to have both kinds of facilities at our campus.
Great. Thank you very much. I appreciate you coming down. I think we'll, I see Mr. Benson and Commissioner Fabian in the room. Maybe you could come down and kind of talk about one, I think, the significant differences in the two offers that are before us, which is in the area of corrections. I think in the last offer that we put forward, we had $9 million for the Fairbairn Prison. I don't believe the Senate has numbers there. And if you could help us, I know you're probably not happy with either of them, but I think the question is, you know, and maybe my memory is a little foggy, but I thought you made it pretty clear last year that you were going to be back again this year, and then seems to be some folks that were surprised by that, but did I miss that, or last year, you know, what were you telling us? And why can't we wait? Or can we wait?
Mr. Chair, committee members, you are right that we did come in last year saying that we were going to have two phases of this, and it would be approximately $110 million total. We were funded $85 million for phase one, and Senator Langseth, we truly appreciate that. I think the problem is, though, that in Minnesota, we're the fastest growing prison system in the whole country. We have doubled our population in the last 11 years. There's been a 51% increase in our prison population just in the past 6 years. So we, you know, through no fault of our own, you know, the laws get passed, we can't have waiting lists, we're very, very crowded. The other thing that is a huge deal and why when you talk about as much money as we've been asking for, it's so important that we're here, you know, we did have to take over state hospitals. They're not ideal for running a prison system, and that's part of what the problem is when, you know, we keep putting money into it. I guess I can't emphasize more strongly the need that we have at Fairbairn. This is not a safe facility for our staff. That is the main concern. I think it is a core government responsibility to provide safe prisons. And it's our responsibility as managers to ensure that our staff are safe. They are interacting with these inmates, the state's most dangerous offenders, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. What happened last year, we got the first phase, and we truly appreciate that. But the next phase is real important that it not be delayed. Part of that is we're going to have almost 2,000 offenders down there when this first phase is through. The second phase will give us the infrastructure. It will also add one more K building. We talk about not being able to lock our offenders up, and truly, in those hospital buildings that we're using now, we cannot lock the door. It's fire codes, so we have inmates that, if they wanted to, and if they all decided at one time, they can come out and overpower staff. There's just absolutely no question about that. If we don't have that K building, we end up in this next phase. We end up having, that same situation. I think we had a handout that we passed. Do we have that, the handout? Oh, you all have it. I think you saw, the kind of conditions. We have had serious assaults, three serious assaults down there in the last few months, and part of it is because, the cameras cannot, at the angles, cannot see what's going on. In the other prisons where we have, the better cameras and we can see what's going on, any kind of grievances, any kind of assaults, we see, we get it on camera. That isn't possible down there. The other thing that we're really concerned about is that if we delay this second phase, our construction down there is going to be out three additional years, which to have a prison under construction is just a nightmare when it comes to safety. There are trucks and construction people coming in and out, 50 times a day. We have to search under the trucks, the inside. We have to do all of that. We have to be sure that, the inmates don't get any of their tools. Contraband is much more easily brought in, so to keep on for 6 and 7 years under construction, it's not good policy, it's not good correctional practice as well. And I think the other thing that we're concerned about is the geriatric unit down there. If we delay that, right now it's really very, very poor area that we're trying to house over 100 of these guys that are in wheelchairs, that are very disabled, and we need that as well. I don't know if you want to add something to it.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Lightfoot.
Mr. Chair, I think you will find that when we come with an next proposal from the Senate side, there will be some money for that particular phase. But last year we ended up with $85 million. But at that, when we came in from the Senate, we had $71 million because some of the enhancements we figured could wait until for the next year or two. You said at that time, no, you had to have it all at once. Now, how much of the $85 million have you spent now? We're already in another bonding. How much of the $85 million have you spent now? Mr. Benson.
Mr. Chair and Senator Langseth, as you know, any time we bond a state project, it's about especially a project like this where we have somewhere between 18 months and 2 years to complete the build. It's about a 3-year cycle, and as the commissioner indicated, that's part of the problem here, is we are about to let that bid out. We've started to demolish some of the buildings. We've started to remodel the minimum security unit, but over $60 million will be left here momentarily. It takes that first year, and we've done many, many projects in the 10 years that I've been doing this, and I think we all know that not a shovel of dirt is moved for the better part of the first year. There might be some pieces of it, like our minimum unit down there, that we've done some excavation, but for the most part, you go through designer selection board, you go through final design, you put it out for bid, There's walkthroughs, and you award the bid. The construction company is bonded, and then construction starts. So we've had this thing on the fast track, but we are about ready to start building now. And then we're looking at about 18 months to 2 years before we have buildings that we can put offenders in. But obviously, the big hunk of the money, in answer to your question, the over $60 million, is going to be left here momentarily. But as you also know, we don't give them $60 million at once. We give it to them in increments. But the process for building these buildings is about 2.5 to 3 years. And our concern is if we delay this K building from a population perspective, if we delay it 2 more years, and it's a 3-year cycle, we're really talking about 5 years. And we all know what happens over here in a 5-year period in terms of sentencing enhancements. Nothing is not part of that equation. In fact, there are sentencing issues on the table this session that are from this session that are not part of our projections that will be in next year's projection. So that's our concern with respect to the timelines. But the other thing, and we didn't talk a lot about it last year, but we've talked more about it this year, is the fact that we had another very, very serious sexual assault at a medium custody facility, an old state hospital. This one occurred up at Moose Lake. It didn't get a lot of press, but in the Department of Corrections, it certainly did, and it, I guess, heightened our awareness to what can happen in these places when we're dealing with a facility that was never designed to be a correctional facility. And now, as the commissioner said, we're talking about our largest correctional facility, and the notion that we're willing to have 600-700 in that facility that we're not able to lock up, it just it goes against the grain of sound correctional practice. So this is an issue. We had a sexual assault 6 years ago at Lionel Lake, another facility that we can't lock up in many instances. That's why we put a K building there, because we have many sex offenders there. But it's a huge issue for us, and one that we would be remiss if we don't bring to this body's attention year after year.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Langseth,
if we had gone with the Senate original position last year, $71 million, would that have held you up at all? I mean, if we had put that additional in this bonding bill instead of last year's bonding bill, would that have held you up at all?
Mr. Benson.
Mr. Chair and Senator Langseth, at the end of the day, yes, it would have. It would have moved, you know, the other $14 million down the road a piece, whether that's a year or 2 years. But certainly, we can't design and build pieces of this project that we don't have bonded funds for. So I guess the short answer is yes, it would have. Now, as I said, it's a 3-year, in my mind it's a 3-year, the construction people are telling us, you know, 2.5, but I've never seen a project like this completed on time, especially when we're talking about, as the commissioner said, going through gates, and there are security issues in a prison that aren't present when we're building a new egg lab or DHS facility. We have different considerations inside of a correctional facility.
And I would guess, we need finance to come down and talk about it, but some of the things that you highlighted, the staging and when it occurs also impacts when the Department of Finance, well, I don't think they look at it individually, they stage the sale of their bonds because they know that this isn't all going to go out. And so I think if we started doing just things that were truly going to happen in the next year, we'd have to recalculate that 3%, because I think we'd have some impacts to it there. Mr. Benson.
Mr. Chair and committee members, the other thing that we all need to be cognizant of is we are behind the eight ball with respect to trying to keep up with this growth. And I can tell you, if there's no bonding bill next year, and there probably won't be, at least there may be some emergency pieces, but we're already, if we delay this K building, it's t- Today it's $19 million. Next year they're telling us it's going to be $22 million. In 2 years it'll be $25 million. The project has 2K buildings left to go. So if we wait 2 years, we're talking about just $50 million to complete the last phase of Faribault. In addition to that, we're already doing some pre-design for additional female offender beds, because the beds that are going to be bonded this year, hopefully, are going to be full almost the day we open that facility. We're going to have to rent some female beds. In addition to that, we have asset preservation needs across the agency. You understand, I know that these 10 facilities are like 10 small villages where we have water infrastructure, sewer infrastructure, roofs that leak. You've all seen the windows at Stillwater. And next year we're going to be asking for $4 million additional dollars for energy shortfall in our budget, because we have windows that were installed in that facility and at St. Cloud in the 1800s and early 1900s. So we're going to, my point is, in 2 years, we're going to come to you with another request that's going to be approaching $100 million. So we'd like to try to bite off as much of this thing now in today's construction dollars as we can, so that we don't have to back-end load so much in a couple of years. And the other thing that we continue to be concerned about is the lack of a perimeter around a female correctional facility that is going to house 700 females. And that's unheard of anywhere in the nation, and it is another safety issue, and one that if it's delayed, and I know there isn't much of an appetite to build that fence this year, but we will be back with that request in 2 years as well.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Benson, last year we didn't complete the work at Stillwater. That was one of the things that, you know, as we got tight for dollars, we reduced your request. What did that cost us last year to complete? Were it $15 million you shortage?
Mr. Chair, I would have to look. I think it was 16. I think the price on that was 16 or 17.
And now it's grown to 19,580. Is that, I mean, that's the kind of thing we'll look at by doing Faribault? Is that what you're saying, that type of increase again?
Mr. Chair, the difference, the K building that is on the table this year will cost us $22 million next year, an additional $3 million, and that's based on information we have today. That could increase as well.
And just so we're clear for future years, you're not done at Faribault, there's a phase three?
Correct, Mr. Chair, and we're told that in 2 years that same K building will be somewhere in the area of $25 million. And the other point that the Commissioner made that I want to underscore is this committee has been very understanding of our needs, and you have given an awful lot of money to this fundamental function of government, our correctional system, and we don't want to appear to be ungrateful for those very necessary things that we have needed here. And if we could see our way to push pieces of this out, we certainly would. And we've kind of, I don't think many of you have heard us talk about the Shakopee fence. If, you know, we've ran that risk for many, many years, and, you know, we're in the calculated risk business. And if we have to push that out another year or two, so be it. At the same time, I think it's not just rooms. Building a room is the easy part. It's all the other infrastructure pieces that are so critical to our system to create program space. The best security is good programming in those facilities. That's why our system isn't on the front page of the newspaper, like California, Iowa, Texas, Florida, West Virginia, Maryland, Rhode Island. Those of us that pay attention to correctional news, we have a system that we're very proud of, and I hope you are too, because you've been very instrumental in creating, I think, which a correctional system that's next to none in the nation. The other point I would make that the commissioner made is this Linden unit is the geriatric unit. Many, many men are going to die in prison in the next 25, 30 years. And we have a situation down there now where we're housing vulnerable adults with predatory offenders. We have to create some barrier there and figure out a way that we can have a nursing care facility inside of our system.
I think the other thing that we could do as a legislature, you know, you're kind of at the end of the line. You know, we react to things that happen in public, and we're going to get tough on crime, and we increase sentences or do things, and, you know, you need the house that we send you. And I guess as a legislature, we could always think about, you know, whether we have went too far or not, and leave that caseload that way. But if we don't, I don't think we've got a choice as a state but to say the legislature's made these decisions, and now we've got to live with the consequences, and part of the consequences are increased costs. Representative Broad?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to go back to the numbers of last year a little bit. The Senate had $71 million in their budget. In their bill, and the House had 84.5, I want to say, roughly. And you know, as we try to figure out, I'm trying to figure out where the 71 came from. And if I recall correctly, the 71 essentially was just a recycled number from the year previous that was not funded. Is that correct? Essentially, it was the
Benson,
Mr. Chair, and Representative Broad. I don't recall where that number came from, possibly the Senate.
On that point, Senator Langston?
Mr. Chair, when I was talking earlier about the enhancements, the landscaping and things like this that come after the structure is up, the $71 million would have built the structure. And then the additional, which we eventually went with, would be some of the enhancements that would be done at the end of it. So that's how those numbers come about. But I'd also like to mention about the Shakopee fence. If the neighbors were asking for a fence would be in here. But as you know, they're asking that there not be a fence. And so that's the reason the Shakopee fence isn't there.
And that was certainly in national news, in the sense of creating peace there on the Daily Show. President Broad, I believe.
Mr. Chairman, and Commissioner Fabian and Deputy Commissioner Benson, you guys come and make a very good pitch. This is a core function of government, and I think you're indicating some very important things. If you look at the building that you're putting in place today, the $84.5 million, of which $60 million is going to be let soon, how is that coming in on budget? Are the costs, as we look at the cost of concrete, the cost of steel, cost of petroleum, whatever the cost is going up. Is that coming in on budget as you expect?
Mr. Chair, Representative Broad, we don't know yet. We're about ready to let the bid. We will know, hopefully, in the next 30 days. So we're very concerned about it. Energy, of course, is a real driver in the construction industry, and everybody is, hopefully, we've got enough inflation built into this. We work with Department of Administration on that, and whatever it is, we're going to have to make it work. We're just going to have to. And if we have to cut some things initially and push them out further, we will. But we've got to get those beds online. We understand that. And the other thing I would say is that K building design, I think almost to a person, you've been through the building at Lionel, and we appreciate you taking the time to look at that. But that is such a superior way to manage the caliber of offender we have in our system, and it's so efficient. We are adding the rent-a-beds at the Appleton facility are costing us totally, with central office costs, around $70 a day. We're adding these beds for $45 to $50. So it's also the real cost is an ongoing cost. The cheap part of it, believe it or don't, is construction in our business. And we've made a decision to add at existing physical plants. We've heard the legislature in terms of do it cheaper, do it cheaper than you were 10 years ago. We brought our per diem down over $10 a day. We've absorbed about $20 a day in inflation, and much of that has been driven, of course, by economy of scale. But this is a good deal in terms of prisons. And I wish we were here talking about which one are we going to knock over, and I think we all do, but unfortunately we're not. Today we need to build prisons, and that's an unfortunate part of not only Minnesota's history, but the America's history. But, you know, these things swing, too. There was when I started 32 years ago, there were 1,200 adult offenders in the Minnesota system. Today we're pushing 9,000. So it's just part of our history and something we have to manage right now.
Mr. Chairman, just one more question. Commissioner Fabian, I'm not sure if you said this. If you did, I apologize, but maybe you can just put it again on the record if you did. In terms of if we were to short fund this project a little bit, what the costs in terms of safety would be to the surrounding community for an extension of a five-year period of having the in and out in terms of construction traffic on site there at the prison?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Representative Brad, we obviously are very concerned with that. If we are under construction for 6 to 7 years, that totally, it makes it almost impossible to ensure security. It also, in other construction sites across the country, that is when people try to escape, and are successful in doing it. And the other part, and I think as important as the community safety, again, are the men and women that are correctional officers out there. And I think we hear a whole lot about, police officers and law enforcement and the National Guard. You look at police officers, though, they may not even come into contact with a felon in one day, depending on what happens in the community. You have to remember that these staff are, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, interacting with our most serious offenders. And they truly, the type of offender that we're getting has changed. And I think you've kind of seen, the in the paper, the murders. We have so many people at this point that are really dangerous, that are desperate, that feel, that they have no other option. And, that's why I think some of the assaults are going up. So to not have the locking cells and to carry this out truly, truly puts our staff at risk and the community at risk.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Langstaff.
Now, it seems like in all these projects there's a contingency built in. There is a contingency built in here, isn't there, so that if it goes up a certain amount, you can cover it. It's just if it goes up a quite a lot from what that you wouldn't be covering.
Mr. Chair, and Senator Langstaff, yes, that is correct. It's at 2 or 3%, I believe, the contingency usually is on these kinds of projects.
Representative McNamara is next on the list.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a couple questions, and it's kind of a follow-up, Mr. Chair, to your point about sometimes it seems like we don't have choices in regards to corrections. We just need to build these facilities. Well, I think, one, there is a choice out there for us. When I was a kid growing up, my mom always threatened me that she was going to send me to Red Wing if I didn't straighten out. Well, I finally got to visit the facility last summer on our capital investment tour. And I just want to say, Superintendent Zander down there is doing a tremendous job with young men in the, in the later teen ages. And I'm just curious, Commissioner, so if we reform, it just seemed they were doing terrific work with these young men, 16, 18 years old. So if we reform an 18-year-old and he becomes a productive person in society, separate of all the taxes he would pay and the happy life he would lead, if we don't turn him around when he's 18 and he spends, so he lives to be 78, let's say, he spends 60 years in correctional facility, what does it cost us to house somebody for 60 years in a correction facility on today's dollars? If you could tell me time, in 1 year, I could do it times 60. But just in today's dollars, how much would that be?
Commissioner, and are you ready to comment on the horticultural suggestion we had in that discussion? I think Representative McNamara would be able to assist in that. It's a future career. We'll talk about that maybe later. But Commissioner, tell us about the cost, and we highlight a little bit on that, on what's happening down there at Red Wing. And I know just like the university, everybody else, you have to set your priorities. Your priorities are beds, but we get pretty strongly like to see that completed, and so we can touch on those issues.
Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, it costs $28,000 a year per offender, and I appreciate your kind words about Warden Zanders. He is an incredible person down at Red Wing, and truly lives are being changed. When I worked in the counties, we had we would only send the kids that had, you know, we couldn't handle in the counties would go to Red Wing. And they may have had 7 or 8 placements prior to going to Red Wing and then going down there. And truly, people are changing down there. There's no question the program is real good. The other thing I just want to bring up about our system, and Deputy Commissioner Benson mentioned it, but overall, people getting out of prison in the nation come back at 70 to 75% rate of them come back to prison. In Minnesota, it's 33%, which, you know, we certainly want to improve, but I think the fact that programming and things that we are doing, you know, there is some hope, and I think we don't say that often enough, that many of these offenders do change. So, and it starts out, I mean, if we could get them younger and have some interventions, and, of course, even going back farther to the prevention, like your mom saying that you're going to go to Red Wing. If I really hope people understand that there is hope that people can change in the system, and we're very proud of that.
Representative McNamara.
Very, very quickly, you did bring up the horticulture, which they are working on down in Red Wing, and the commissioner came from Ramsey County, where they have a terrific program involved in horticulture. Commissioner, as you know, you and I discussed this long before I was in the legislature, because I had some concern of working it all in with private industry, but I'm very much in favor of what Red Wing is doing down there. As you know, we spent some time with some of those young men that are doing very successful. So if, and I apologize, it is Warden. I thought he was superintendent, Warden Zander. So if he's able to rehabilitate 14 of these young men, not counting all the other savings, that's $28 million approximately. So we can build that building, but if we give him 6 down there, I think he'll be able to do more, Mr. Chair. So I hope we don't be penny wise and dollar dumb, or there's a better way of saying that.
Well, we'd certainly take both.
Yeah, you know, that's a shock. Senator Skoglund?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioners, just refresh my memory on what you're going to do with the dormitory building, if the K building is built.
Commissioner, Mr. Benson.
Mr. Chair, and Senator Skoglund, the K building at we will, one option that we're looking at, we've had a problem in our system with respect to what to do with the short-term offender. The very short-term offender now stays at the county level, but one of our very challenging populations to manage in Minnesota are the revocation violators. We have some at Lionel Lakes, many at Lionel Lakes actually, and some at Rush City. They have to be in a lockup facility. You were at the old B building at Lionel, and they're very disrespectful. Many of them come back for 30 days, 90 days, 120 days, but they're a difficult crowd to manage. We believe that one option is going to be to house all of our release or revocation violators in the K buildings down at Faribault, because they are so difficult to manage in an open setting. We have split them between 2 or 3 institutions. We will develop a chemical dependency program, education program for them, so that hopefully we can turn some of them around, re-release them, and be more successful with respect to their recidivism rates.
Mr. Chairman, my question was the dormitory building that you're trying to, that you say is unsafe. What are you going to do with that?
Mr. Benson.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair and Senator Skoglund. Many of the buildings down there are going to be torn down. Some of them are going to be remodeled into program space. The other thing that you've heard us say is it's more complicated than just finding room for a bed. It's that program space that is so very necessary. And part of this request, the $28 million, about $5 million of that, is to remodel some of these buildings into classroom space, program space, additional chemical dependency space. And the other point I wanted to make with respect to prevention, last year you bonded dollars up at the Challenge Incarceration Program at Moose Lake Willow River. We just completed a draft report of recidivism for that program, and I think next year we will be presenting the data, and it's very, very encouraging. We're going to double the size of that program thanks to bonding dollars that we got last year, and hopefully we can. The result will be even more people remaining out of prison. And the good news with respect to our incarceration and our growth is today we still incarcerate fewer people per capita in Minnesota than any state in the union. So I do think we are using our expensive prison beds for the right people. And we're pretty careful about who we make that decision in this state to take out of their community or the county system and bring them into the state correctional system. So I do think we have good balance there. We're ahead of the curve. We're in much better shape than so many states. So hopefully we can get back to that point where we can spend even more dollars on prevention.
Senator Scogin?
Chairman, and numerically, where do we stand? You know, per capita, we're the lowest. Where do we stand numerically? North Dakota's lowest because they're a smaller state. But
Mr. Chair and Senator Scogin, I'd have to check, but my guess is we're in the bottom third for sure with respect to 9,000. There are some of those small New Hampshire, Delaware, Rhode Island have small populations, but we're definitely in the bottom third.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Corning first and then Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Chairman. Commissioner Mr. Benson, you actually touched on a question that I have, and something that I'm very concerned about is the short-term offenders that maybe have 3 months left to serve and we're leaving those in the county jails. And what I see is the state shirking its responsibility money-wise, and we're passing it on to the counties. And I might be wrong on this, but I was told by one of my county administrators that they're only getting reimbursed $12 a day for housing these offenders who should be in your facility. And so can you tell me if that is correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative, that is correct. That we're not that we're shirking our responsibility, but it's correct that we're only giving them about $15 a day. Again, I have a real unique perspective coming from the counties. When I first came here, there was talk about if it was 12 months or even 18 months that they should be at the county level. And I was very, very opposed to that because I know how crowded the jails are as it is. But I do think that someone with 6 months or less, and the majority of those are less than 3 months, it does not make sense for them to come to prison. You know, with 6 months or even a year, we're in the process in the prisons of transitioning them, you know, back into the community. There's no programming, you know, and that was part of the problem, that the assessment process when they come to prison takes 3 to 4 months as it is. So we were getting them with very few days to serve and that type of thing. I do think that it would make sense to give more money to the counties, and I think as the budget problems get better, I think that is something that we are certainly going to be looking at.
And Mr. Chairman, if I could just say that I hope that's something that we could work on in the future. I know because it is a burden on the counties, and you know their budgets are tight too, and so you know if we continue to strengthen the laws and throw people in jail, we certainly don't want to be passing on the counties when they have other responsibilities also. So I thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the time.
Just one more comment on that. We are the only state that does have people with that short a time coming to prison, that in almost every single other state that, you know, it never was like that. And because the system grew up like that, I do think, you know, because I do remember when that happened, you know, when they kept changing laws about who under sentencing guidelines should go to the counties and who should come to prison. It is a huge burden and a real difficult budget problem. So thank you.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, it does seem to me that there's a problem here in how we authorize and how often we authorize bonding. And perhaps we need to be thinking more seriously about during the even year, you know, on some of these major projects, big projects like collections and others, to have more substantial bonding authority. My other question for you, though, is if once the authorization happens, it takes kind of 3 years to complete or 3 years to begin, why it doesn't work to do partial funding or work to do design money or something to, you know, so that if the money is constantly being metered out, why does it all have to be at the beginning instead of being gradually metered out over a period of time?
Mr. Chair, Senator Pappas, you raise a good point. It takes about a year to begin, to start moving dirt in most cases, one year.
Once it's authorized?
Once it's authorized, correct. Mm-hmm. Now, there are exceptions for that. For example, you did give the Stillwater facility dollars last year, the segregation unit, to begin that process. And we were able to get the old hospital building removed and completed most of our design. So we were able to spend $2 million of the $3 million you gave us. But then we're left with what we need next is the money to build the building. Mm-hmm. So what happened, as I understand it, the best way I can explain it, and the finance people probably have different words, but they actually took the $1 million off the table and then added that. It should have been, if they had left it on the table, we'd only be asking for $18 million today as opposed to the $19 million. So we were able to do some things. If it's just removing a building, we can get that done a little bit quicker. But if we're talking about total and complete design, that gets a little more complicated, and it just takes longer. The notion of even year bonding year, of course, is a policy decision that I don't think you'd ever get opposition from agencies, but one that certainly the legislature and the governor will have to wrestle with.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it does seem to me if they knew that we were coming back in a year instead of 2 years to authorize more bonds, like I'm talking about metering it out more gradually rather than every 2 years, it might be more manageable.
Mr. Chair, I think, to my knowledge, we have a bonding bill every year in the off year because there's always something. Sometimes very small. We even did some, I think, $50 million worth of CREP funding at one time because of the timing factor. So it isn't just emergencies, it's also timing factors, and that could be the same with in your particular case.
You know, and I think Senator Pappas raised a good point, and when we're done, I think I'm going to ask the folks from Department of Finance to come down, and I've got a couple questions about how we do things, how that impacts when they sell bonds, and what impact that has on the 3% that, you know, which, you know, is not set in stone, but mm-hmm. I'm curious how that would impact it. Do we have other questions for our friends from Corrections?
Thank you for your time. We certainly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mr. Solson, and would you mind coming down? Ms. Rankin, maybe? Good morning. One of the things that I think that we've heard a little bit about today and you know, as we struggle to find the proper priorities for this bill, is we talk a lot about, well, can this be phased? Can we change this? Can we do that? You know, Senator Pappas was asking about, you know, more metering out differently. So if you knew it was a $50 million building, but you did it over, and it was going to be constructed over 3 years, if you cut that in three and did the bonding for that over 3 years. I'm just curious, if we started to do that, you know, as you go through your calculations and decide when to sell bonds, if I recall, you know, whatever work we do here, by and large, you probably sell 10% of them the first year, and I can't remember if it's 30% in the second year, but you have a calculation. I assume that calculation is made up of the nature of these projects and what you know will be the phasing. But if we change the style in which we bonded and started to say, well, it's a it's a $50 million project. We're going to do $12.5 million a year each year for 4 years. How does that impact how you'd sell bonds? And then would that impact the debt service number? What would be the result of that? And maybe you can't give an exact answer, but I'm just curious.
And Mr. Chairman, members of the Conference Committee, I'm Peter Salzman from the Department of Finance. The Department of Finance will sell bonds for projects on a cash flow need basis. So as we go into this capital budget, we expect to sell bonds over our planning is over a 5-year period. And looking at the history of expenditures for capital projects over time, we expect that 15% of the bond proceeds will be spent in the first year, 35% the second year, another 35% the third year, 13% the fourth year, and 2% the fifth year. For the capital budget process here, we do not get cash flows from projects so that we don't have the people from corrections telling us for their particular project how much they expect to spend each of the years. We used to do that several years back and found that the numbers that we got were wrong and that we were giving wrong information to the legislature. So we've taken historical expenditures and used that to say that this is the amount of cash we'll need each of the years. So a project, and listening to the discussion on corrections, they're going to have a big project, and we would expect if they go out with the $60 million contract, that we'll actually provide the cash at least over a 2-year period as they need cash. But they need to have the appropriate, if they're going to enter into a $60 million contract to build this correctional facility, they need the $60 million of appropriation of bond proceeds in order to enter into that contract. So that you couldn't say that we'll appropriate $30 million in 06 and another $30 million in 07 because you have to have the cash in hand. The money has to be appropriated before they can enter into a contract within the law. So as we move forward from the end of the 2006 legislative session and as we get ready for our summer bond sale, and we expect to have a bond sale in the summer and another one probably in late October, to fund the needs for capital projects over the next fiscal year. We'll get cash flows from agencies on bonds that projects have been authorized in previous years, 2005 and earlier. We don't get those for 2006. We'll really work off much more off the estimates that we have from the 15% that I talked about earlier. And If we sell more bonds than we had expected, if cash flows are say that we need to sell more bonds than we anticipate in the first two sales, there will be additional cost of debt service, and vice versa. If we sell less bonds, there will be less debt service required.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Salzman, is that what you said was the law, that you had to have all the money before you could authorize starting construction of the building? Is that a bondhouse requirement, or is that just a statutory requirement?
Mr. Salzman.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Pappas, that's a statutory requirement.
Senator Pappas. We can change, if we changed it and we started to do it in the immediate fashion as described by Senator Pappas, would that then impact, I assume it would impact your calculation of 15, was it 35,
15?
Or,
no, I didn't.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know that it would. The money would still flow out in the same way over time. But I just want to respond to Senator Pappas' comment of metering it out. I think that there's a real risk involved for a contractor to enter into a contract with the state to build a $60 million facility when the state has only appropriated $30 million of it. I don't think a contractor may be willing to do that, and the building may not be able to be built. And I think that's why there is a law that says you need to have all the money in place prior to entering into the contract.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator,
the risk is that future legislatures wouldn't carry out the commitment.
Chairman, Senator's office, that's correct.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Langsdale.
Mr. Chair, you know, as far as the 3% is concerned, we know that's just something we pulled out of the air, but I expect the bond companies kind of like the discipline. It appears to me that if year after year, both the bonding in and off year, we authorize the 3%, we would never get there. Isn't that correct? There's always some of the projects that don't get the 50-50 match and so on. So if we every year authorize to the full 3%,
we would never actually have to appropriate 3% of the budget for debt service?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Langstaff, I agree with you that there are always projects that don't get started, don't get built, don't require bond proceeds. Over the last 20 years, we've been benefited with falling interest rates, and many times the Department of Finance forecast interest rates on the bonds we're going to sell. We've been fortunate that the interest rates have been low and continue to go down, but if we're in a period of rising interest rates, we may find that the interest rates we're forecasting are lower than the actual interest rates that we sell at, meaning that we're going to have additional interest costs that may impact that 3% and may offset the projects that don't get built. But, Mr. Chairman, Senator Langstaff, you're correct. We were at the 3% in the late 1980s, 1989 or so, we were at the 3%. And then we came down as the good times moved on and through the 1990s, and forecasts kept getting higher and higher. So that the 3% number against the forecast was in a number, the actual number that was taken in of revenues was greater than the forecast, so we never really got to the 3%, in part because of growing revenues. Now, as revenues fell off in the early 2000s, and as we get bigger and bigger capital budgets, I can remember when $200 million was a large capital budget, and now we're up towards $1 billion. As we get bigger and bigger capital budgets, we are moving back up towards that 3% number and expect to be there with our maximum debt capacity number, which we calculated and distributed with the February forecast. We would expect to be at the 3% number in 2010-2011
biennium. Mr. Sossen, let me ask my question a little bit in a different fashion. If we, when we do the 3% calculation, which is roughly $1 billion of capacity, embedded within that is an understanding and a calculation that you will be able to sell 15% of those bonds this year. But if we were to dramatically change the makeup of a bill so that rather than needing only 15% of it, that more of that money would go out sooner, what effect would that have?
Mr. Chairman, if money went out sooner, we'd have to sell a bit more bonds than we now estimate. We'd have to sell in fiscal year 2007 more debt service, so there would be a greater cost that would move up. Our 3% calculation would be a little higher for this biennium.
And it would reduce then next year what would be available under that 3% guideline.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Thank you. Representative Broad.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just following up, Mr. Selson, on the conversation about metering things out, would that, it would seem to me that that would actually, because the risk goes up, it would increase both the cost of issuance, but also, as you said, the cost of the projects for the contractors who are bidding on them. Did I hear that fairly?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Broad, I thought the point I was trying to make is that contractors, I think, would be very reluctant to enter into a contract to build a $60 million building if the legislature had only appropriated $30 million to pay for the cost, because they would find themselves under contract to build the building. And if the legislature the next year failed to appropriate the $30 million of bond proceeds, then you'd have a situation the contractor, I'm in the contract law, but the contractor would either have to continue to work in that decade or the contractor would walk off the job and the building would be half built.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Selson, so the continual issuance of bonds in a metering-type fashion would not increase the cost of issuance in that way?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Broad, no, that, I don't think that would have an effect on the cost of our cost of issuance.
Okay.
Thank you for your time. We appreciate it. Senator Langstaff, earlier you thought you wanted to... Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize for what I missed.
Make your comment, and then I had a question.
Can I go?
I thought you were moving on.
Oh, no. Can I go?
Yes.
Thank you very much. You want me a comment? I was just going to say that Senator Langstaff earlier had said that wanted to look at our latest talk a little bit and then perhaps recess, and I didn't know if there were areas that he wanted to move on to next and have a discussion of. This is where I was going.
And my request, Mr. Chair, is before we break, I'd like to have an opportunity to make a
presentation of the point, an issue. Absolutely.
Before we break, before people look at new offers.
Great.
Mr. Chairman.
Roger.
before the presentation, I did have a question on page 6 under the Employment and Economic Development section. You had a couple of programs that were starred, and then it says contains earmark. Maybe if you could explain what the proposal is there.
Sure. The one of them that comes to mind would be, as an answer, is it Worthington and the Campbell Soup?
Yeah, that was, what, $800,000, yep. I believe.
Yeah. I just...
Under the Greater Minnesota Business Development?
I think it's under the redevelopment grant is where that one would be.
And then under the Greater Minnesota Business Development? So it's also earmarked there?
Let me check.
Mm-hmm.
We might have broken that out on the list. I think it was the Polk County Ethanol Road, but I think it might be double counted.
Okay.
I think that asterisk might be able to go away. But I think we moved that down into the...
Okay.
Captain Hausman, if you want, we're giving you the floor.
Okay.
And then you're in the chair.
I'm preparing a base.
Are you preparing a base? All right.
I'm preparing a base. And here's why I thought I'd like to do it before we break, because if there begin to be other proposals on the table. In my role as ranking minority member in the House Conference Committee, I've spent really the bulk of my time trying to represent a broad range of House members. But right this minute, if you'll bear with me, I want to wear my very parochial hat and talk about the St. Paul and Ramsey County agenda and put it in the context of not only the metro area but the state. The percentage of the Minnesota population now living in the seven-county metro area is 54%. And in getting ready for today, I tore a number of pages from the House Research Department Major State Aids and Taxes. And they're primarily maps, which I didn't make a copy of. But on sales and use tax, darkest spot, seven-county metro area. Corporate tax, darkest spot, seven-county metro area. A lot of personal income raised there in the seven-county metro area. Individual income tax per capita in the seven-county metro area. By county in the seven-county. State property taxes paid, darkest area, for the most part. There's one other section. And then we come to total aids and credits per capita by economic development region, and you see we suddenly get light in the seven-county metro area, and the rest of the state gets dark. County program aid per capita, same thing. Local government aid, same thing. Local government aid per capita, same thing. Highway aids per capita, same thing. By economic development region. Now, why do I show you that? To show that we're interdependent. There is a lot of wealth and a lot of income and a lot of taxes paid here, but it is not shared only in the seven-county metro area. It really is shared with the entire state to keep us all strong, and that's a good thing. That is a good thing. None of us argue that it should be any different. I had someone bring this down because a lot of times we talk about our area and the transportation infrastructure that we're trying to change, the investments we're trying to change. What we've discovered, and I'll just use Highway 62 as the example, if all we can do is build roads and highways in the seven-county metro area with a million more people coming in the next 20 years, we will have to take the highway money from the rest of the state. The Highway 62 project has doubled in cost. Nobody talks about that. It's doubled in cost. We can't afford to do it anymore. And if all we can do is build roads and highways, our economic health of this region is at risk, and thus the economic health of the state. But to move around the whole region with public mass transit requires a good plan. And there has been a plan underway for some time. When we introduced the first bill, I think I may have been the author of it. I know I was the author of the Hiawatha Corridor, though I'm a St. Paul representative. And we put little bits of money for the corridors all over the region because we believed it was important from day one to show everyone this is going to be a whole system. We are interdependent. I have one little corridor in this bill, and it's the Central Corridor. And in the discussions, I think too often we have started to look at these corridors as though they are sort of the ownership of one entity. So St. Paul, it's their corridor, and when we do it for St. Paul. But really, when we do these public mass transit corridors all over, including Robert Street, where we'll eventually do it, we do it for the whole state to keep us economically viable and thus have a healthy state. If there's somebody, I'd like to hand out something that I think you haven't seen yet. I want to talk now specifically about the St. Paul agenda. And here's why I wanted to do it before the recess. I'm concerned because in the Senate, recent Senate proposal, the Senate has gone down on the Ordway, down on Central, which we've all agreed to, because we acknowledge there is some other earlier St. Paul bonding that we can shift. But that didn't go to other St. Paul projects. They went down on the Union Depot. They're still not up to the House level on Great River Park. Bioscience, which was never in the Senate bill, I think, and disappeared in the latest version of the House bill, and then even on the House side, Cuomo went down a million in this latest. So we're going the wrong direction as we're putting together the package. And why are we concerned about a number of these projects? In the case of the Central Corridor, I think it's been made very clear to you already, the federal matches. You're getting the sheet that hopes to make it very clear on Union Depot that a $6.25 million state appropriation will draw down $25 million in federal funding within the time frame that you see there. The Great River Park, $2.5 million matches $7 million, I think, in federal money. The Great River Park acknowledges that I think we have 17 miles of the Mississippi River in St. Paul. Mississippi River is not a local body of water by any stretch of the imagination and makes us as a country. So earlier we had talked about the importance of maximizing federal money. Now I've worked with my chair long enough that I know what he's thinking in his mind, then why did St. Paul legislators prioritize Ordway as our number one? And so I want to talk a little bit about that. All of those others are so crucial to the economic health of our city and certainly the whole state. But we have the Ordway as our number one priority. And why is that? And I'm just going to use some of the materials that have been either in the newspaper or, I think, shared with all of you. This is the third session we've made the request for the Ordway. We believe it has significant regional and statewide impact, and it is, in fact, the number one bonding priority of the City of St. Paul and the St. Paul Legislative Delegation because of this. It's never been adequately capitalized to deliver on its public service and economic development mission. Unlike other cultural projects in Minnesota and around the U.S., the construction of the Ordway Center in 1985 did not include public sector funding. The cost of construction exhausted the capacity of private philanthropy, and it is still bearing some of that difficult financial equilibrium. And now there are a huge group of community leaders, business leaders, coming together. Some of you have spoken to Bob Sinkler about this from Securian. They are working as a community on an endowment campaign, 3M, St. Paul Travelers, Ecolab, Securian. It is clearly recognized across the country as something that makes us great. When the Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine recently named the Twin Cities as number two in the 50 smart places to live, they referenced the Ordway Center for the Performing Arts and the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra, which performs in the Ordway. And both newspapers have called attention to this project. And I'll reference specifically how the Star Tribune talked about this. They said, perhaps legislators wonder how could this relatively new, still gorgeous, multipurpose performing arts center be in need of state-funded renovation. And they suggest we think about our homes. Are we still using the same sound equipment we bought in 1985? Do we still have the same windows, heating, cooling designs, even though perhaps there is something more energy efficient that we might replace some of that with? And then they ask, and why should the Ordway continue to be the only major arts facility in the Twin Cities and likely in Minnesota for which the public has borne no capital responsibility? That's the Star Tribune. There are compelling reasons why we as a city, even though we have all of these other very important projects, have continued to say the Ordway needs to be at the top of our list this year. One more thing about the Union Depot, which you have just received the sheet about. Again, when you think about all of the transit ways coming together, the line that we hope will eventually come from Duluth and that will connect with the Rush Line through that area, and the line coming up from Hastings, Washington County, the Red Rock Corridor, the Robert Street Corridor, all of those will need some sort of transit hub where we interchange with other modes. And my community has gone through, together with Washington County has always been there, I think all of the East Metro counties, Amtrak, they have all been at the table. They have studied the vast area in the East Metro and looked at lots of sites, and they determined, these multiple county units, determined that the Union Depot location, in fact, is ideally suited for an East Metropolitan Transit Hub. And it is shared by all those lines, and they all have an interest. Amtrak has been at the table as well. So though it is in St. Paul, it in fact is going to serve the entire East Metro in a very direct way, and generally the Seven County Metro area as a way that we stay economically healthy and thus continue to be contributing to the health of the state.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Langsdale.
You know, I had a conversation with the governor who's from the metropolitan area, and I had my farm boy hat on, and he was mentioning that 11 counties pay in more than they get back, and I think it's 76 counties get more than they pay in. I mentioned to him, I said, you know, Governor, we don't like the fact that our household income is 31% less than it is in metropolitan area, and obviously a family with 31% less pays in a lot less income tax and less in the way of sales tax. I said, Governor, I know that there's metropolitan money at Morehead State and in our schools and so on, but I said, when most students graduate, where do they go? I said, half of them go to the Twin Cities area. I said, who's subsidizing who here? And I would make the point that I think you made too, that it's one state, and there's different ways we got to handle things. My particular part of the state has gotten a lot of money on flood control and going through again, and believe me, we appreciate that very, very much. But the money spent there is going to save a lot of money down the road. One thing I've noticed is that recently, in last year, and I think maybe the end result this year will be that metropolitan parks will get more than all the state parks in the state of Minnesota, even though there's more metropolitan people who go to the state parks than there is rural people. So I just make the point, not really rural versus metro, but one state. We're one state. Right. And I'm glad you mentioned that. And you've got to factor in all these different things. We don't like it that our income is 31% less. We wish it was the same as yours, so we paid the same income tax and everything. So, but we are one state, and I think we generally do a pretty good job
of
that.
You absolutely have.
Chairman, my map started out like yours, but mine has the Robert Street corridor on it now. So this afternoon, I'll bring
me a new one. That Robert Street.
All right, I'm just very disappointed this morning.
I was concerned about that.
I've got to correct it up.
All right. Thank you for the base building.
Well, you were very kind to allow me.
You met that. Okay, Senator Meisner, prior to hopefully short. Timeout. Is there other areas that you wanted, or have we highlighted what you wanted to highlight before the recess, or is there other things you'd like to discuss first?
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't know about my concrete, but I think, you know, obviously we could spend the next 3-4 hours talking about it, but we have a start on the proposal. I suppose people would like to get some leads, so I was wondering if 12:30 we'd come back here with our proposal, and go from there.
That sounds very good. Why don't we recess until 12:30? Thank you.
Back to order. Sorry we're a little bit late. Haven't seen the Senate conferees yet. Not sure what that means. Oh, there's one.
Important
ones.
One of the important ones.
Exactly.
Oh.
Well, Senator Messon, what's up?
Well, we got a deal.
Oh,
there it is. Let's go home.
All right. Do you need additional resource?
Oh, we're moving pretty good. Some good work the last hour or so.
Oh, good, good.
But I'm just wondering,
do you want to recess additionally or?
No, they're coming. We've got 4.5 minutes.
What's that?
About 3.5 minutes.
There's two. There's two.
There's our leader.
And there he is.
Duplicating is taking quite a bit longer than we thought for some reason.
Okay, all right.
What to deal with?
All right.
Yeah.
Do you want additional recess on
it?
Do you want a recess on it?
Okay.
Okay. All right. All right.
The rest are coming.
Senator Langseth is indicating that it took a while longer than he thought to get some duplication, but I think members of the latest offer are coming out. Senator, do you want to make some comments? I guess we'll go right to you.
Well, Mr. Chair, first of all, I think a little dose of reality. When you add up the proposals from the governor, from the House, and from the Senate, you're at $1.3 billion, and we aren't going to spend that. According to those numbers of 949 GO, there's going to be $350 million worth of projects that are not going to make it. In some cases, certain projects won't make it at all, and other cases, it'll be at lower levels, I would expect. So as we proceed here to reach agreement, just remember, we're going to squeeze $1.3 billion down into about $950 GO.
You want to highlight the changes, Senator, in your last offer, or just want to recess again and come back to you with another offer? What is your...
I expect on the front page, of course, there was agreement on the university. We haven't as yet moved off our position on the minuscule. I expect there will be some probably behind-the-scenes agreements there, maybe a final agreement
if we just kind of come to some kind of agreement. But you get into these other areas. We have tried to move towards you in a number of areas, but we also tried to move towards the governor to come up with this veto-proof bill. As we were there on the housing, same as the governor, above the house. With the prisons, we have gone to $9 million, which takes care of everything except that construction. We did the $2.7 million for St. Peter, that security. And then, of course, you just go down the list here. And I guess the encouraging thing is that in most cases, the House and the Senate are the same. In other cases, one or the other is higher than the other, or in some cases there's a proposal in one and there is not in the other. But in this particular proposal, you will be able to move down there and see what the differences are.
No, okay.
It looks like, Senator, and correct me if I'm wrong, from your last offer, you dropped Fichette Hall. Is that correct? Well, you dropped it, and we went with you.
Yeah. It was in your last offer, not in this one, though, correct?
That's correct. The only one of the governors that we haven't acted on is the zoo. His other proposals that they have emphasized, we either went with them totally or went with at least partially. I think on the prison, you were at $10 million. We were at Fairbowl at one phase. You were at $10 million. We were at $9 million. Well, $9 million figure, I think, did everything except the construction of that particular phase.
Currently, Senator, your thoughts on the deck? Just too much money in the size of the bill?
Yeah, I would say the deck, the only way you do the deck is if it's on top of the 949. They have, you know, been working, attempting to get their numbers down a little bit, and I think they did come down a few million, but when you're talking about a $67 million project, you're talking a lot of money, state money, regardless of how you cut it. In the case of Bemidji, which we are going with, they have agreed to pick up locally 70%, with us at 30%. And of course, this year that was just $3 million, but 2 years from now that drops that figure, state figure, from 14 down to, I think it was 9.8. And as you remember, they have been at it for a long, long time, and it is a minuscule participant there, so we felt justified in state involvement, but it's very hard to get those 50% figures now with the, you know, the prisons demands there and the building costs going up so sharply. You just can't get as much out of the dollar as you used to be able to. In fact, I think that $990 million figure we were at in 98, which is 8 years ago, would have to be at least $1.5 billion today to get the same amount in there. So those areas where there isn't this direct state responsibility are just not going to be as successful in getting these bills as they used to be in the past. Like I say, if you go down these figures, I think you see, well, certain categories too that we line up totally. And others, we're not off very far, and others we may be still a ways off. Like in the redevelopment grant program, we now have gone with the numbers you had come up with.
Got a change from your last offer?
Yes, we were at 10 million. You see the, just right to the left of there, it says 10 million, and we went to 11 there. I think the last offer on the Rochester Biosciences, I think we were at 8 at that time, and it started at 8, 6.3, so we went with your numbers there. We did go with Greater Minnesota with your numbers there, but we do have a carve-out of that, what do they call that, the central iron range there at $2.5 million. I don't know if you've got any carve-outs on that one or not. We did go with you on that Polk County one, which we did not have in our bill before. Obviously, the $23 million on wastewater, we've been there for some time. We went with you on that, let's see, that impaired waters actually was our $5 million, but you started at 3 and went to 7. The Itasca project there, we were at 20, we're at 15. I guess we were hoping that you could make some moves there. I don't know, with the tremendous demand for steel and so on now, it looks to me like maybe something could happen there that would be great for northeastern Minnesota. But what our final numbers there is, remains to be seen. Let's see. I'm not sure whether our last offer on the Ordway had $7.5 million or not. I don't believe so.
$7.5 million.
Seven and a half. Okay. And we're both at the same numbers there, which is kind of encouraging.
Why don't we recess, I think, for about a half hour, and we'll come back. We'll go take a look at it. I'll have the House researcher and fiscal people put. I just want to see the movement. I'm having a hard time picking the movement out, and so I want him to show me the movement so I understand it. We'll come back. Why don't we say it at 1:30? Meeting stands in recess. Thank you, members and to the Senate. I apologize for us being late. We had a couple problems with kind of our spreadsheets to work. A couple things. I noticed that in our last offer, we'd have actually been over $1 billion, and we didn't have the proper number in for financing, so we had to make some adjustments there. And I'm still, House research is still, the fiscal staff is still trying to put together the Senate, last Senate offer. I noticed the totals were off there, so I don't know. What's exactly, do you know, Senator, what was happening there? You kind of left out the total off funds on the last.
Yeah, we were working from the 949, and we bumped over in all funds, and obviously we isn't the final.
Right.
It looked like about $1 billion. $5 million, if fiscal analyst is right. But he's not going to join us, and he's up there trying to see if he can iron it out. What I have, and Roy, pass them out to members first, please. But what I did is something that we make this offer business too complicated, too. And so what Roy will hand out is what will be our next offer. I'll talk about it in general, and then we will recess again and see if we can make some more room. I thought we had made a pretty good movement in the last offer, and so what this will show you is just really the movement from what was called the third, the House 3, to House 4, and I'll just briefly talk about the changes. In the area of dam repair, we went down $750,000. In fisheries acquisition and improvement, we reduced our total by $1 million. In SNA acquisition and development, we're coming down $500,000. Trying to listen to the concerns of the Senate, we've added the Agassiz Trail for $648,000. We increased the number of Goodhue Pioneer to by $300,000. We've added the Heartland Trail, increased the number in the Milltowns Trail. We reduced the number for forest roads and bridges. Reduce the number in the Pollution Control Agency Capital Assistance Program that would do the Perm project only now. We dropped the $2 million for Greater Minnesota Transit. We've increased Metro Region of Parks by $3.2 million, up to $8.2 million, but there's some deletions coming on that. Historical Society, we, listening to some of the concerns, had added $1.1 million to the Fort Snelling revitalization area. We've reduced Reverend McNamara's Empire wetlands by $2 million. We added $4 million for the Hennepin County Laurie Avenue corridor. We went to $12 million on Itasca County Mill, Steel Mill DRI, dropped the Coochiching County Clean Energy Facility in its entirety, added another $1 million to the Ramsey County Union Depot. Redwood Falls Reservoir we have removed. The Rochester Public Safety Center we've removed. The Rochester Volleyball Center we have added. The Port Crosby we dropped, but that's part of the addition in the Met Council Regional Parks. Virginia Helipad, the $600,000 does the elevator there, so it's reduced slightly by $150,000. We deleted the White Road Trail project. We added the Starbase Minnesota project and deleted the Farmington School District $850,000 appropriation. So with the change made to that, adding in roughly the correct number for bond sale expenses, we would be at $999,436,000. So just under $1 billion all funds, including the bond sale expense. So rather than spend a lot of time putting it in, you know, getting all these things in a spreadsheet way out there, I think everyone knows what our last offer was, and so we're just highlighting the changes that we've made to try to bring this closer to completion. And we're happy to answer any questions you have, and then call for another recess, and we'll see what if we can move even closer. Mr. Chair, Senator Langsam. Mr. Chair, would everybody kind of quiet down? We looked at your offer. There were situations where you moved towards us, or in some cases met our level, and we appreciate that. I guess we were a little disappointed that there were a number of areas where we were the very same that you moved away from. So we will just respond to where we will accept your offer and where we feel we cannot. Kathy, maybe you can just read off the different proposals that they came up with and how we respond to it.
And do you have an offer that adds up to under $1 billion somewhere? Or do you?
We do.
All right. Good. Do you have those? We look at them?
Add up to the bottom and you'll see. Good. Go ahead.
Okay. For dam repair, the house in their most recent offer went to $2.25 million, and we agreed to that. The fisheries, they went to $2 million, and the Senate accepts that. The SMEs, they went to $2 million, and the Senate does not accept, and the House moved away from their last offer. The Agassiz Trail, $648,000, the Senate accepts. The Goodhue Pioneer, $500,000, no. Again, the House moved away from their last offer. The Heartland Trail, $250,000, and the Senate accepts. The Millstown, for $1 million, no, the Senate does not accept, and again, the House moved away from their last offer. Forest Roads and Bridges, $1 million, the Senate accepts. Capital Assistance Grants, $3 million, no, the Senate needs $4 million. Greater Minnesota Transit, $0, and the Senate will not accept. The House moved away from their former offer, and both the House and the Senate had the $2 million all the way along until now. Metro Parks, $8.2 million. No, the House moved above the Senate, and they were below the Senate. Fort Snelling, $1.1 million. The Senate accepts. Dakota County Wildlife Management Area, $5 million. The Senate will accept. The Hennepin-Lowry Corridor, $4 million. And the Senate will accept. The Itasca County, $12 million. And the Senate will accept. Coochiching County, $0. The Senate will not accept. They need $1 million, and again, the House moved away. Ramsey Union Depot, $3.5 million. The Senate will not accept. Redwood Falls, $0. The Senate will not accept, and again, the House moved away from their former offer. Rochester Public Safety, $0. And the Senate will not accept. The House again moved away from their former offer. Rochester Volleyball, $2.5 million. The Senate will accept. Port Crosby, $0. And the Senate will not accept. Again, that was one where the House and the Senate were identical. The Virginia helipad, 600, and the Senate will not accept. We need 750. Waite Road, zero, yes, but the Senate includes it under the local roads. Starbase, 150. The Senate will not accept. Again, the House moved away from their position. And Farmington, zero, and the Senate will accept that. So in the Senate offer, the State Parks land acquisition, we had $4 million all the way along, and the Senate is offering $3 million to meet the House. The Capital Assistance Program of $4 million, the Senate will offer $4 million. We were at $5 million, and
they were at $3 million.
And they were at $3 million, and so we're meeting you halfway. The Hennepin-Lowry Corridor, we were at $5 million, and the House had come in with $5 million, but we will meet the House at that. And Itasca, at $12 million, the Senate will meet the House.
So that means that we have come down $6 million, which will get us below the $1 billion mark. I guess the thing that's really interesting about that puts us clear down on GO down to about 941 or 42 or something like that. So,
sure. Well, obviously, you know, I don't know what to say other than I don't know how even to respond other than, I mean, you can't say, gee, accept this without paying for it. And so I don't get that, so but I'm not maybe as smart or haven't been around as long, and so I understand that as well. But you know, our offers are made in their entirety, and so there it is, and I think you can see it. I guess I don't know really what to say. I find it curious that you're willing to let go of Farmington but not willing to let go of something else. I just don't know how to respond, to be honest with you.
Well, Mr. Chair, you know, it seems to me, even if we just move by inches, we should be moving towards each other. And the problem in your last offer was that you did that with part of it, and then there were so many places where we were identical. And we thought it was kind of a done deal that you moved away. And, as far as paying for it is concerned, we are now $6 million below where we were in the last offer. We don't have to pay for that $6 million. We're down $6
million. Mr. Chairman?
Representative Brock, please.
Just to follow up on that, so Senator Langseth, I'm just trying to understand, when you say if we put something out as part of a package, then if there happens to be some things that are similar or equal as part of the package, that individually those are done deals? I'm a little confused on that logic. And then also, I guess I'm looking at the Senate offer, which I'm hoping that you can maybe figure out or show us a spreadsheet or something that figures out. You said it gets to $6 million below and it has a GO number of, I don't see it. So I'm trying to figure out how we get to those numbers, and if you have a spreadsheet that you could provide for us.
Just,
Mr. Chairman, I'll just quickly finish. When we look at the Senate offer, if I look at the sheet, there's certain things that the Senate will accept or not, but when you go down to what the offer is, I think we've waited an hour and a half for, with captivated breath, of course. It seems to me that one of them says we will meet the House. The next one says that we will meet halfway, which is a $1 million difference. The next one says that we will meet the House. And the next one says that we will meet the House. So it seems to me that there's only one thing that's offered in there, and so I'm a little confused. I really am. I need a spreadsheet if I could.
Well, if we had the spreadsheet from before, we're down $6 million from our total in the spreadsheet that we'd offered before. We felt that, you know, when we looked at our total number, our problem at one time was that we were doing the 949 GO, which is what I said I would come to. But then that pushed the total amount up to $1.5 billion, and I think yours was over just a little bit too. This pulls us down to about the 99.99 figure, and so we can proceed from here. But Well, nothing was locked in. I understand that, but as we move towards completion of a bill, you know, you would sure think that when we were the same on many, many, many lines, that you wouldn't move away on several of them. I can see it on one or two or something where you didn't feel that you should do that, but you did it in many, many different areas, and so we actually ended up, I think, further away than we had before, had been before.
Let me try to explain it this way, Senator. I think the problem is you take those areas that are common, and maybe we ought to go back and start there with the areas that are common and agree to do those only and then see where we're at from there. That's, I think, what we tried to do on the first meeting, and you were hesitant to do that. In fact, I think we called for a vote, your side voted no, then we broke and came back, then we broke, and then you chose not to come back and go down that road. But, okay, so let's look. Here's your offer. If our bill was at $1 billion, if you meet us halfway on the state park land acquisition, I think that's $1 million down. So now we would be able to add $1 billion. And then the capital assistance would be meeting halfway would require us to go up $1 million. So now we're at even, and you accept the... I get it. I understand. Takes me a while.
I think in every case here, we're moving towards you rather than away from you.
Mm-hmm. So how do you suggest, if we don't drop anything, how do you resolve the differences?
You would resolve the difference by moving towards each other on many different areas, and we've attempted to do that.
In your last offer that you brought, what did you move towards us?
Well, I would have to.
All of the
assets. If you're talking about this one,
whatever you came with today, the one that went over the $1.8 billion, or over the billion.
Yeah, well, that one we moved towards the governor in quite enough different areas, and we moved towards you in some areas.
All right. Okay. Well, I think we'll call another recess, and House members, we'll go back. And I think what I take from this is it's going to be impossible to resolve some of these local things. I think we ought to come back with, we'll come back with an offer that probably has the infrastructure, the full funding of the Faribault Prison, and then we'll go from that direction. Because maybe I'm simplistic, I understand that, but I don't see how we move any direction. I don't see you including projects that are important to us. I think in that last offer, we took out some projects that were important to us, took out some projects that were important to you, tried to add things in that, as I heard, were important to you, and then I hear we're backing up. And it's like, well, I guess we have a different definition of backing up. But I guess if that, I don't see this as getting us anywhere, so I think we ought to take a run at building a bill that's maybe doesn't have all the local projects in and is maybe a better bill for the state of Minnesota. I guess we'll go back and we'll try that. See if you like that approach any better. I guess we can...
Well, Mr.
The
Chair...
It will be adjourned until... Oh, Representative McNamara.
I wanted to stop you before you adjourned us, Mr. Chair. I thought...
Right. Recess. Excuse
yeah,
me.
Good. I guess that my point here would be, one, I'm hoping that the Senate... I like Representative Broad, was pretty disappointed. I thought we were making good headway. They came back with an offer, and we made a counteroffer. And, Mr. Chair, we did give some things up, put some in things that I think are the right way. I'm disappointed that we didn't come back with a spreadsheet to show us really what we've got here. Senator Langsdorff, you and I had some conversations yesterday when we ran into each other. I think there's some areas here. But the people of Minnesota are expecting us to make some hard decisions. They don't want us dodging the issue. They want us to get it done and get out of here. You got crops to plant back home still, and we got trees to take care of and all kinds of things, and tires to sell and banks to take care of and rocks to pick in Port Ripley. So we got things to do. And I don't want to see us get stalled, but Senator Langsdorff, I'd like to see it come back. There were some good things we talked about in the back of the Senate chambers yesterday that are some hard decisions that the people expect us to make. And I think together we can do them. I don't want to see us go backwards. I think the Commissioner of Corrections laid out that this prison is $19 million
to do today, or it's $25 million if we wait 2 years. We got to bite the bullet and find a way to spend that $19 million. And both of us are going to have to find some, make some tough decisions to do that. But I think we should do that. And I'm hopeful that we could come back and I know some of the things we offered maybe you don't like. And I think, why don't you come back with an offer to tell us what you do like? But I think there's some things.
Mr. Chair, we did that. We've shown where we like your movement. We didn't particularly like it when we were the same on many different areas and you moved away in so many of those areas. That seemed to be moving away from a conclusion rather than, you know, and I just to give you a little example of a couple different projects, we had there are two projects, one from the House, one from the Senate, that I thought were very much the same. The Prairie Learning Center in Fergus Falls and the Springbrook Nature Center. And what I had decided was they were so much alike that I would be willing to do the one in Fergus Falls in the center, Representative Norness's district, if you would go with the one in the northern suburbs. The northern suburbs really doesn't get much of anything. And I expressed that to your side several times, and still I'm here with the two, and you have got just the one. So that makes me think, well, then maybe I should just drop the offer that I had made. I don't care to do that, because that's moving away from the position of getting together. But I guess I'm not sure why that simple. In fact, the Springbrook was $2.5 million. The Prairie Learning Center was two, and I went with two on both. I cut one, and I thought, oh, okay, they're very much alike. There's two and two. Let's just agree on something very simple. And yet, it seemed like that even that little thing never happens.
But just real quick, Mr. Chair, I just really think we've been putting out a complete offer. A complete offer, and I understand maybe you didn't like it. I didn't really expect you to just come back and say we'd like to move the offer, but I think truthfully we deserve, and everybody deserves, a complete offer. Now we got to go back and reconstruct this some way and spend a bunch of time. I think we should both come back with a serious offer. I think you should come back with how you think you can do it. We've agreed on a number, and I think we heard some good testimony about some important things. We're going to have to restructure and reprioritize and really do it, and we're trying to do that.
Well, Mr. Chair, let's just remember that by going to your offer, rather than what our target had always been all along, halfway between, we had to come down $40 million. That's not very easy to do, as you would certainly understand. We've been attempting to do that. We are at that level. We've got it down below that. And we've been trying to move towards, you know, any of the offers we made here now are moving towards your position. Nothing is moving away from your position. And it seemed like the way to get it done is to both sides move towards each other's position, not be constantly moving away, particularly when the positions were exactly the same.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I just wanted to point out again a couple places that really confused us is because it wasn't clear exactly what you were doing. For example, if you look on the spreadsheet, on line 228, Rochester Regional Public Safety Training Facility, in original bills and in previous offers, it was both in the Senate and the House at $1,700. Then you came in the House at $1,700. Then you came in your last offer with zero. That's called moving away. Then on Greater Minnesota Transit, we both had $2 million, several offers. We were stable, and then this last offer, you went to zero. That's called moving away. Then the third example is Port Crosby. We had $2 million in both the House and the Senate, and then your last offer, you came in with zero. That's moving away. You know, I mean, we can't go back and re-argue and re-fight and discuss all these issues that we've had them in both our offers. Now, if it comes to the end of the day and there isn't enough money, then we maybe have to go back and squeeze in certain areas that we can both agree on. But I don't think we're there yet. I think we're trying to build a bill, not tear it down.
Right. But Senator Pappas, you can't come back and say, well, gee, we like the fact that you came up on these trails because that's how we paid for them. That's how we did
Fort Snelling. That's how we added the trails. Our bill was at $1 billion. If we're going to try to recognize what I thought were your concerns with the bill, we have to find something in the bill with which to pay for them. So it's fine to come in and say, well, gee, we're glad that you'll take our position on these items, but boy, don't cut anything to get there. We can't do that. I mean, that's nice, but it doesn't add up. So our bill adds up. So you sort of come in and say, well, we like where you've come up. Then if you don't like where we're getting the money from, come up with another idea.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think the better idea, which is what we've done, is take the money from projects that are only in our bill and not in the other house's bill. That makes a little more sense. Or just decide that maybe we just can't do something. Like, for example, we've talked to you in private about event centers, that perhaps there isn't room in this bill for event centers, and that needs to be either above the target or funded from a different source of dollars. Because those are really, really a lot of money, and you have $15 million or something in event centers right. on your side.
Right. And I got a sneaking suspicion we're going to come back at 6 and probably have more. But, Mr.
Chair, I would just like to mention that in the proposal where we cut $6 million, we cut in every one of these areas. You made it sound like you were the ones that cut, and we didn't. We cut in every one of these areas, and we didn't really want to cut in any of it.
Right. No one does.
No.
But all right. Anything else? We'll recess till 6 o'clock. Oh, please, let's go. Get some
here. No, let's recess.
Thank you. Welcome back. We didn't seem to be making any progress together on doing, seem to be able to resolve some of those contentious issues. So we went back up to the old workshop and we put together what I think is a pretty darn good bill for the state of Minnesota. My intent is to outline it a little bit. You have a local project. You're probably not going to like this offer. If you're interested in roads, bridges, prisons, things of that nature, you'll probably like the offer. The first change is in the area of University of Minnesota. We would fully fund the medical research building. We did reduce HEPA a little bit for both the university and MINSCU. If you go to the second page, we came up to the Senate number on the Net Lake facility, put Freshette Hall back in. We went back to the House original number on flood hazard mitigation. We've come down in where we were in WMAs. We have taken all the earmarks out of the trails and we'll suggest we give the money to the DNR to prioritize. If you look under the Pollution Control Agency, that would be the Senate's original number and not the House's original number. Absence of that would be a project for Albert Lee. And so if we're going oxes, I thought that mine better be gored as well. See, the zoo changes a little bit. Roads and bridges remained strong. The Bloomington, the BRT, the Bus Rapid Transit program from Met Council is added back in. We still have a strong number there for Metro Regional Parks. Under the Department of Corrections, you'll see the Faribault Prison Phase 2 fully funded. Made some changes in the business development grants, redevelopment grants. I'd like to have more money there, but couldn't have it. There is an $8 million marker put back in for the Clean Water Legacy. As I understand, some of the negotiation on the cash bill isn't doing well, and so I think we'll put that back in there. $20 million for permanent supportive housing. The event centers are there. The Bemidji Regional Event Center, the deck, which the governor actually had fully funded, so we're down from the governor's number. The Lowry Avenue Corridor is fully funded, as is the Southwest Regional Event Center. And so it's kind of a quick tour. If anyone has any questions or comments on it, otherwise I don't want to spring a vote on you right away, and we'll recess for 15 minutes and come back and vote.
Okay.
Well, we can vote right now as far as that goes.
We're prepared.
I would like to make a few comments.
Feel free.
You know, you've cut $15 million from Heifer on Minskew. You funded almost none of the planning money. You see, event centers are more important than higher education, obviously. You dropped $6 million on floods. Northwestern Minnesota will not be exactly pleased with that. Are event centers more important than flood control or higher education? Apparently you think so.
I guess then we can look at your last offer, because I think that the Ordway and the Schubert are actually event centers too, Senator Langsdale. So if that's really where you want to go, I guess I can help you get there too if you'd like. So be careful what you wish for, and we'll be happy to accommodate you. Shake your head. I don't know what else to do other than, if you want to live and die by local projects, that's fine too. But I think this is a good bill for the state of Minnesota. It does roads, bridges, a lot of infrastructure. My local projects aren't anywhere. Yours may not be. It's a House original member in flood mitigation. Maybe it's not everything to everybody, but I think it is a pretty good package.
Well, Mr. Chair, I really do question the priorities.
I'm sure you don't,
Senator. In higher education, the Minskew, you're basically cutting off any projects for 2 years from now because there's virtually no planning money.
And I believe, Senator, the Minskew priority list is not established by this committee. I believe it's established by the Minskew Board of Trustees, and if there were planning projects that they were concerned about, they probably would have had them elevated up the list. And I think there is a couple planning projects up there.
Mr. Chair, to that
two. There's Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to be sure, based on Senator Langsdale's comments, I must not be seeing this right. Because I get that we've actually moved up on higher ed. Are we not $35 million higher on the university and $5 million lower on Minskew? So we're actually $30 million higher on higher ed, I believe.
That's correct.
And I'm not sure which ones else may be designed, but I know specifically the Inver Hills classroom project is a design project, and I don't know if any of the other ones above are. One more, the Bemidji SAT-GAS Science Edition, I believe, is designed. So there are some projects. And I do want to say again, last year, Mr. Chair, we funded 31 out of 31 projects on their list. So we got to realize, any projects on this list weren't even on the list last year.
But, Mr. Chair, I guess the way the process works, then 2 years from now, there will be virtually no projects in Minskew ready because of all the planning money that's been eliminated.
Senator Minsky, you want to come down and ask a couple questions about the planning line? Mr. Johnson, welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and tell us if I'm trying to follow your priorities as best I can. I assume the Minsky Board of Trustees, when they set their priorities, understood what they were doing when they put some planning projects lower than others. What would happen if, come back in 2 years, are you going to come back with no requests, or do you think you'll elevate some of those from just planning to actual requests? Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. For the record, Al Johnson from Minnesota State College and Universities. To the question about priority, yes, there are lots of the projects. Many of those projects were for planning only towards the bottom of the list. There were two, one at Eveleth and one at Metropolitan State University that were somewhat lower on the list that were for construction as well. But by and large, there were many of those that were design. There are some design in the top part of the list, though. Some were at the higher priority. To the question about if we don't get design started, would there be no request in the future? Mr. Chairman, that many of those projects on the top part of the list are phased and have design underway, and I would expect that you'll see phase two of many of those construction projects in 08.
So you think, Mr. Johnson, there'd still be a significant request from Minsky if this were to pass in this condition? I'm not saying you like it or dislike it, but would it tie your hands so much that you couldn't come back? Or?
Mr. Chairman, I would expect that we would still have a significant request.
Thank you.
Of one way or another.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Anyone else? Any questions?
Mr. Chair.
Oh, Representative McNamara has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Johnson, I have a couple of questions. Do you ever, in your priorities in Minsky, have suddenly something comes up, maybe a nursing school or something that wasn't on your radar screen and it comes quick? Do you have the ability to design something like, could you take, say, some HEPR money, or if there was an overage in another account, do you ever have the ability within Minsky's budgets to design a project?
Mr. Johnson. Mr. Chairman, Representative McNamara, not to fully design. I think using operating budget dollars, we've had the ability to start design from time to time, get an architect on board, but only go maybe 30% into that design, not to fully fund.
Thank you. Other questions of Mr. Johnson? Thank you very much. We appreciate your time.
Mr. Chair, Senator Nysa, you put zero for the steel mill proposal up in the Iron Lake?
That's correct.
You know, the price of steel is very, very high now, and they were just asking for some infrastructure money to get this company to come in. The royalties alone from that operation would bring back the money many times over. I find it hard to understand that event centers are higher than something like that. That could really help that northeastern part of the state come alive again. And
Senator Scogin.
Mr. Chair, I noticed you zeroed off the Lewis and Clark water system. They're going to run out of water down there someday. What's their alternative if it's not the state match?
Senator Scogin, I wish we had more money and more things. We don't. We put out several legitimate offers. Frankly, I thought this last offer wasn't even an offer. It doesn't even add up. I don't understand how it got us anywhere. So I kind of thought that we must not be able to move very forward. It seemed that I heard that, Gene, we like it when you come to our number when you're increasing, but we don't like those cuts. And so I thought, you know what, that doesn't seem to be getting us anywhere, Senator Scogin. So I thought, in my heart, and I go back to something I think about often, last year I'm on my way up from Albert Lee, and I saw Representative Bradley in the room, he was on the radio with Senator Berglund, and they're talking about health care cuts, and basically said, you know, you're going to kill people with what you're doing. And I thought, you know, we do have a priority, Scoofy. And so I get to my office, one of the first appointments was with Mayor Rybeck, and Mayor Rybeck was talking about nothing but the planetarium. And that's just always stuck with me, thinking about maybe we do have our priorities goofed up. And so I wish we had money for a lot of different projects. I point out the governor didn't have the Lewis and Clark water project in it. I think it's very important. I think the cleanup of what's happening outside of Fountain Lake and Albert Lee is some very environmentally harmful things that are going on there. But you know what? If I'm not going to get my local project, I think it's, I couldn't include mine and not include somebody else's. And so these are statewide, very significant projects, very important. I think that maybe this really has the, from my view anyway, the priority set for the state. Do I wish that we had been able to maybe try to resolve some differences? Yeah, sure, but it didn't appear that we were going together, which is you saw us moving away, and I don't know what to make of that last offer, so I don't think we saw eye to eye either place. I'm not saying we're wrong, I'm not saying we're right, I'm just saying we didn't seem to be moving anywhere. So here's another offer, here's something that I think is very important for the state of Minnesota, and if you don't, I understand that too. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Senator Fassler, we thought that the sheet we handed out was easier to read, but we did bring the spreadsheet over, so it is here with those numbers built in. And there was no attempt on our part other than to be as clear as possible on what we were agreeing on. That's really what we were trying to do. But I think water is a basic, and they're going to run out of water down there. They told us that this is an agreement with South Dakota, Iowa, and Minnesota.
I'm very familiar with the project.
Okay, all right. I can think of a few things more essential in capital improvement projects than water.
Mm-hmm.
I can't
remember that
one's part.
Yeah. So I didn't have my hand up.
I thought you were meaning this for signaling for him earlier. I thought you were signaling. That's my apologies. Senator Langston.
You know, if you just take southwestern Minnesota, for example, a sports center versus a water project, and we've been down there a couple of different times explaining that they've been explaining the vulnerability of those communities as far as the lack of water is concerned, and they simply have to be doing something, because if we happen to have the wrong kind of climate for several years, they are in dire straits. And a number of those communities can't now add businesses that require much water. And you zeroed that out and gave them an event center. I mean, really, well, I won't say exactly what I think of that, but...
Well, and I think that we'll have another offer, and then we'll go through and look at the priorities that we all have, and then we'll compare them to some others, and it could be an interesting evening yet, and because, like I said, I would be careful of course, saying things that strongly, because I think there are things in your offer that one could say, gee, isn't this more important? So we can go down that road, and I think we will, and so that'll be a very good thing. Senator Pappas, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will say something. I wanted to try to think of something positive to say, and I wanted to thank you for moving up on permanent supportive housing. I think that's a really good direction, and I think we should prioritize housing for the homeless. And I just hope that eventually we'll get to the governor's number and the Senate number of 25 million in that area.
I also want to say, I don't particularly like it, but I want to just say thanks for continuing to try to help us move forward. I see that there is absolutely not one project for my district. They're all taken out. But I guess if that's what it has to take to get a bonding bill passed, I guess I can accept that. So, but I just want to thank you for trying to move us forward. I guess we'll just try to keep working on it.
Senator, and I think they are there. You probably just don't see them because they're not carved out. But you'd have to look down the entire HEPA list in Minscoop and know if they're there or not. You would have to look at the Road and Bridge Fund and assume that none of them are going to go into your area, because there are some things that are significant. Maybe you don't see them. And the answer to Lewis and Clark might be the Redevelopment Fund. There are opportunities for these things to move forward. So maybe you don't see them, maybe you can't put it on your brochure. I understand that.
Put them on my brochure?
Absolutely.
Not they're not on this list.
Okay. Any other questions or comments before we vote? I'm glad you look different than you used to.
I
wonder if they'll notice when you vote, yeah. All right, seeing none, Roy will have a roll call.
Thorman.
Aye.
McNamara.
Aye.
Rod.
Aye.
Hausman.
Pass.
Norris.
Aye.
Langstaff.
No.
Netson.
No.
Coring.
No.
Pappas?
No.
Scoblin?
No.
Housen?
Yes. How do we come over?
3-5.
Right.
Well, okay, so I guess we're not... That one didn't grab you. That was offer 5-0. Roy, do you have offer 5.5?
I'll have to go up and get the copies.
Well, we've got another offer.
And this would, oh, I'm sorry, Senator Baptist, does that upset you?
Oh, no.
I just saw the look. I didn't know if that was bothering you or what. I was just interpreting that rolling of the eyes. I apologize.
No, I'm sorry. I'll control my eyes.
All right. Just was surprised that you got me on that one. And 5.5 will be a variation of the offer we made prior to your sheet that, you know, I don't know how you'd have a, you know, since Farmington was never in your spreadsheet, I don't know how that fits in your spreadsheet as well, but whatever. And it would be another attempt to try to recognize some of the issues that you have. I'm sorry if you don't like doing it in public. I don't know what the resistance is to it, and it is an honest attempt at trying to resolve the differences.
I might have been my only vote for the death. For the full funding of the death.
Oh, yeah. What do we have, the death?
Which one? I was a good bill.
We'll
do. I was a good bill.
I apologize for misinterpreting
your words.
I guess I attempted to let you mull on this one and recess the way it myself.
Our intent, when Rory comes back, he didn't bring it down because we actually hoped you'd have voted for that one, and we'd have been done. I think it was, but I guess there's not enough pork, and so we will have an offer that has more colloquial and individual projects in it again. Again, we've made some additions and subtractions, and maybe it wasn't where we originally were, but you know, we're at least moving. We're moving, maybe not together, but we think we're moving forward, but whatever. Our intent would be to hand that out and then recess until 8 o'clock, let everybody get a bite to eat and chew the whatever and the fat and appear on OMAC. Senator Pappas will be on OMAC. What are we discussing, Senator Pappas? Holy cow! All right, did you push him? Sven. Rory pushed him down the stairs, I think.
Theater is a danger. Oh, my God. He studied theater in Russia.
It's being handed out, and with that, members, we will stand in recess until 8 p.m. Thank you.
But we are having the real one. Yeah. We're in recess.
We're in recess till 8 o'clock.
But
get
your thing.
We have the Tuesday.
Is it
being? Yes. You can come back and we can put a motion on it. We're going to. It's three votes over here. We're fast. I tell him, you're the man. We've got to have quality people here.
He's going to help us.
Rod is bad.
Artie's a good man.
Sorry.
Yeah, he ain't bad.
Put it in your leg.
Love it.
We are back. Are they getting...
Mark, just bring him the rest over.
There's more spreadsheets coming very quickly. Yeah.
Now, what are these? Are these
green
ones?
Why? I'm down to Jesus.
Oh, I have this here somewhere already.
Senator, do you want to talk about your offer, or?
I will. There was not very many moves, but they're pretty good size moves. It is the time of the whole process here where you start doing a lot of things you just absolutely hate doing. We, in this spreadsheet, have factored in what our last offer was, that $6 million cut. We will go along with the house's cut in Heber for university. We will cut the Heber from Minsky down to $50 million. And in conversations that we've had with the house members, that hopefully they would take that $5 million that frees up for them and put it into some of the planning money and acquisition. So that's $10 million. We would go from $25 million to $20 million on housing. We would put that $15 million into the governor's request for the zoo. That isn't my priorities, but we have got to get out of here at some point. So we will pretty much have, I think, the governor's requests covered. So whether the spreadsheets will make much difference or not, probably not, because that's fairly explanatory, except it will factor in both what we did last time and this time as well. I had thought the spreadsheets were coming right behind us, but...
Spreadsheets. They should be involved too.
Mr. Chairman, just thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, just for the audience's sake, that you know, everything else remains the same from the last Senate offer. Those were the chairman, Senator Langseth, just mentioned what changes where we had to come down. So, and we're really, really very sorry. Kind of breaks our heart to come down those areas.
Well, in these last two offers, we've actually come down in the ranks of $21 million in our proposal. I can learn anything I didn't tell.
No, I know. I don't know why I didn't tell you. They would say that to the
government.
No, but that's what they would say.
I know.
Mr. Langston, I guess, you know, I still see some event centers in here, and yet you're cutting Heber in Minsky. I'm curious to know, after your comments about that, you know, now you've got event centers in here and you're cutting Minsky Heber. I've got, you know what, Rory, do you have the list of what that'll mean, that $5 million cut, what campuses will be affected by that? Ms.
Legere,
you know as well as I do that many of you have suggested that we take the lead on cutting Heber and then you would lay this money into the planning.
So I haven't suggested that.
But I'm just wondering what your priorities. You were curious about my priorities there. So I guess I'd ask you the same question now. Tell me about your priorities in cutting Heber, but putting event centers in. I'm just trying to understand, trying to reconcile what you said 2 hours ago with what you're doing now. Help me understand.
We are putting it into the Minnesota Zoo, and I do not agree with the priority, but I do agree we have to wrap this bill up.
The governor's representative was in my office today, said what their bottom line was. We are now at their bottom line.
So honestly, you didn't answer the question I'm hearing about why you're cutting HEPA instead of the event centers in.
So that we can close up this bill.
And so you think that we can't get out of here without doing event centers, without cutting HEPA?
We have agreed to the Bemidji Event Center because they have said that they would pick up 70% of the event center on with their local tax, and we would come up with 30%. That's the best offer we've had on any event center so far.
I'm just surprised based on your comments earlier that there are two others. The Ordway is an event center, as is the Schubert Theater, and so I maybe you didn't mean what you said earlier. I don't know. I'm confused. Do members have any questions or comments? Otherwise, let's recess for about 10 minutes and we'll take a look at them today. We'll recess until 9 o'clock.
If it's going to be 10 or 15 minutes, let's just stay here.
Yeah.
Welcome back after another recess. We've got another offer, really only two changes in it. We went down a little bit on Minsky Hooper and added the Moorhead Moman Hall of planning money and the Lake Superior CTC planning money. And other than that, we're sort of at a mystery as to where to go next. I know it seems to be a lot of conversation around event centers. There's, you know, two metropolitan event centers in the Ordway and the Schubert and two greater Minnesota. You've got the planning money in Bemidji and the event center at Marshall. And so, you know, I got a feeling that there's some angst there somewhere. We still got the deck in. I don't know if that's going to be part of the solution, but we can see our way clear so far to this. And I'll see if anybody else has any comments, and then we'll recess again. Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
This is embarrassing, and this is insulting. This is not a real offer. You're not working seriously to get the job done tonight. I think this is a waste of time, and I think we should just all go home for the weekend until you're ready to take this process seriously and get a real bonding bill done.
Okay, anyone else have any comments?
Mr. Chairman,
Let it go.
Mr. Chairman, I hope that we can kind of come back, because I don't think we just want to leave it. And manufactured or not, in terms of our frustrations, we've come a long way.
Right. Well, that will be, I'm sorry, Senator Scoble. No. No, go ahead.
How long was the last break? Hour and a half?
Mm-hmm.
An hour.
An hour and a half, you got three different numbers on a piece of paper. That's all that was accomplished.
How long was the break when we came back with the one you had? I forget.
I don't remember, but I...
I'm sure you know.
We could check. I can tell you that as part of the... last proposal the Senate made, we really worked on numbers. We really worked on numbers and tried to get to some place where we could have an agreement. And this is three number changes from your, I guess we're going into points now, 5.5, 5.7. This is 5.7, if that's the number that we're talking about. I really was expecting more. And I have to tell you, I'm very disappointed.
I know.
The chair of our committee and the members really did work on grinding numbers out to try to come closer to the House. And I fail to see that the House is doing anything to try to resolve this issue.
I've been on a lot of conference committees over the years, and all of them seem at every meeting to make offers, constructive offers. I haven't seen the constructive offer yet, Mr. Chair. I'm very disappointed.
All right. Well, Senator Langseth, I guess, you know, I'm confused again. I can't remember how long the break was, and y'all came back with this one, Senator?
$6 million.
This is one, two, three, four. Four moves, so I don't know why you're taking us to task for something that you could also be accused of. It boggles my mind.
If you read that, you'll see that there's a number of points where we have taken your position. We just said, yes, we agree here, yes, we agree there, yes, we agree there, and they're listed above. It says yes, 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 yes. Right. And then it says others that we very clearly say, no, we think that's a step backwards.
Right.
If
I can get you a copy, Senator. Well, Senate offer, and then there's only four changes.
And it's true. Read above. Do you see the yeses?
He's looking at the...
Well, read the whole page. You've got to read the whole page, Mr. Chair.
I agree with you, because you seem to be... This seems to be a reflection of our spreadsheet, but it doesn't add up. I can't make something add up that doesn't add up. The only part, Senator Scoglin, that adds up was you sent an offer. If you'd like me to go through the math individually, if you want to do that, we sure can.
You were given a spreadsheet. That came at the end of the meeting because we heard the complaint that you wanted a spreadsheet, so you got a spreadsheet.
How many changes were in that, Senator Scoglin?
Well, pass that over, I'll tell you.
Can we get these spreadsheets that came with this? We'll count them up.
No, what you have right there, they're all listed right on that sheet there.
We'll look at the spreadsheet. We'll look at the spreadsheet
and see
how many changes were there.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pam.
The reality is that we're the only ones who've made substantial movements. First of all, we came to your target, so you would stop talking about the stupid target. We came to your target. We're trying to get this done. Our last offer, we worked very hard to cut things that were very important to us to get the governor's stuff in, even though there's no one here from the governor's office doing any heavy lifting whatsoever. You're not taking this seriously. You said you wanted to get the job done. We're here. It's 10 to 10. This is a total waste of time unless you're going to make some movement, or you're going to get the governor's office in here to broker some kind of deal. Now, I just suggest we just... call quits for the night and take the weekend off, go see our mothers, and come back on Monday morning and let Chairman Langseth chair.
Mr. Chair.
Right.
Well, Mr. Chair.
No. Okay. He's on McNamara. Find me the spreadsheet. I want to come up for Senator Langseth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Pappas, I do think we all got to step back and take a deep breath. I actually have been encouraged with the governor's office not being in our face. As you know, at the end, I think last year, the governor did play a very active role. I think it's good that this conference committee has been active and they've been letting us do our work here. I think that's important. I do think we made some movement in the beginning, and now it seems like it's kind of at a stalemate. Both of us have kind of only made a couple of changes. I don't know if we're really going to prove anything by pointing fingers to say, you know, we only made two changes in your last offer and you made two before that. I think if you got it down to the minutes, we waited much longer for the offer that came back that really wasn't even an offer. I don't think we're going to get anywhere with that. I just think we should take a deep breath here and take a look at it and move forward. I think there's ways we can get it done.
Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, we had a conversation in the back of the Senate. And it had to do with cutting $5 million on HEPR, and that you would then put that $5 million that was freed up into the places to try to meet us on Nisku. Have you done that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Langseth, I think we did just try to do some of that right now. We did. We put in a couple of them. It's just, I've been disappointed. I mean, if you want to point fingers at ones, we tried to, you brought mention of different ones at different members on the committee here that were important to you. We tried to put some of those in there. I think if we step back and take a deep breath, I think there's a way we can find this. I think we have to find room for the prison. I think the prison's important. We have to find a way to make that happen, and I think we can do that.
Mr. Chairman, this House 5.7, that's actually your offer for in that column. So anything that's in that column is in your bill, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
So, Mr. Chair.
Senator Stoeckling.
I'm looking at the most recent document distributed. First page, you don't have numbered lines. And looking at the Moorhead Loman Hall edition, and you're proposing cutting $600,000 from your 5.5 offer, and you list your that as being in your 5.5 offer, but when we read your 5.5 offer, it wasn't in there. So you're cutting things that weren't there to be cut. And then same for Lake Superior, you're cutting, I think it's Representative Murphy's area, you're cutting $840,000, but you had cut that in the previous one, so I guess you're cutting it twice because you never included that in your 5.5 offer.
It's in the wrong column, Senator Spoken. It's my error. The changes, and we decided to hand out a spreadsheet, and they got put in the wrong column. The changes that we made from our last offer, we reduced Minskew Heaper by $1.440 million. Put the money, $600,000, into Moorhead Loman Hall and $840,000 into Lake Superior.
Well,
and they're in the wrong column.
So it totals up the same, though.
It should. We reduced. We're reducing paper by the same amount that we're putting those up. And I did find that spreadsheet, Senator Scoble, with four changes.
Mr. Chairman, you asked what we had done before, and you know, and I have
four changes to your spreadsheet.
I hate to keep. I don't think it's fair that we've kept all these people waiting all day long. I mean,
four
I really think that.
Your spreadsheet.
But on 993, the House suggested and made an offer that the Senate accept its dam repair language. The Senate said yes, we accept it. I assume that I would think that's progress. Line 98, fisheries. The Senate said yes. Line 121, Agassiz. Senate said yes. Line 115, Heartland. The Senate said yes.
Senate always said Agassiz.
So. Line 139, the Senate. Well, we're trying to agree. But I don't know why we can't agree on what we've already agreed on. I don't know why we have to argue about what
sure
we've agreed on.
Your spreadsheet.
Forest roads and bridges, $1 million. The Senate said yes. Fort Snelling, line 382. The Senate said yes. Dakota County, WMA, $5 million. The Senate said yes. You proposed the Hennepin County, $4 million for the Hennepin County Lowry Avenue corridor. The Senate said yes. Itasca County, $12 million. Senate said yes. Rochester Volleyball, line 212. The Senate said yes. These are your proposals. Line 259, White Road. The Senate said yes, but we should include the local roads. Farmington, the Senate said yes. I mean, we've been agreeing where you're suggesting we agree. That was part of your offer. So I've heard nothing of where the House has said, yeah, we'll take that. That's one. Now, here's a dozen or so where at least we can say yes. Maybe you could say yes to some other things that we've done. But I have to say, I feel very badly that we're keeping this crowd of people here while I don't know that anything's happening.
In our last offer, we cut $15 million from our stuff so we could fund the zoo, which was in your offer. I mean, we're making substantial dollar amounts. It's not just the items, it's also the dollars that we have to resolve. And you call the time, you know, when you want us to come back, and so we come back when you want us to come back, and then we sit around here and wait for you for half an hour. No?
I mean, most of these people didn't get a chance to go out to eat like you did. They've been kept waiting. They've been waiting patiently. I waited. I didn't go out and eat. You know, most people haven't had the breaks that you've been able to have because you've got the gavel. You can kind of control it. But I think common courtesy would say that we should be accommodating to the public's time, too.
I'm sure we should, Senator. And I'm sorry that you want to slow down, but we're not going to slow down. We're not going to go home. We're going to recess until 10:30. You want to come back and make a real offer? You want to make real progress? We'll be
Mr.
happy
Chairman,
to do it. We're at recess until 10:30.
Yeah. Well.
Okay, we're back once again. Handed out a sheet that is from Minsky. I was curious to know if we do collectively reduce Keeper by $5 million, where those projects will be taken from. And so that's I'm concerned, and I'm beginning to think that I was wrong that we aren't going to be able to resolve this tonight, but I'm disappointed. But before I get there, Senator Langford, if you could just help me understand, you came in with today, the first offer you made today, I think, is in the shaded area. And if you could just walk me through, because I heard about all the changes that you've made today, and I want you to walk me through them so that I have a better appreciation for the changes that you made. So I must have missed some, and I'm trying to be sincere, but I heard a litany of them, and I want to make sure I understand them before we adjourn. So if you could indulge me by helping me understand the movements that you've made.
Well, Mr. Chair,
from the New 12th Office.
We've had so many offers going back and forth, I'm not sure I can find which ones, but I can tell you the Senate cut, their original bill was $990 million, and 2 days ago, the Senate agreed to meet the target that the House had demanded of $950 or $949. So the Senate, at that point, cut $40 million from our bill. And today, we cut $21 million from our bill. We cut six on that sheet, wherever my sheet is. We cut the state park land acquisition from four to three. We cut capital assistance.
I can jot them down here. That was $1 million.
We cut capital assistance from 5 to 4. That was $1 million. We cut the Hennepin-Lowry corridor from 5 to 4. That was $1 million. And we cut the Itasca project from 15 to 12. And that was $3 million. So our earlier offer was a $6 million cut in order to meet House requirements. And then our latest offer, we cut an additional 15. That was 5 from the University of Minnesota Heber, and 5 from Minsky Heber, and 5 from housing. So the total today is $21 million that we've cut from our bill, and originally we cut $40
million.
Now, I'm not sure if we might have cut something beyond that, but that's what I'm recalling.
Right. $3 million in Itasca. What was the 1, 2, 3, 4? The fifth one. I didn't get the fifth one.
Today, state park land acquisition, we cut one. Capital assistance, we cut one.
Yep.
Hennepin-Lowry corridor, we cut one.
Yep.
Itasca, we cut three.
Yep.
University of Minnesota Heber, we cut five. Minsky Heber, we cut five. Housing, we cut five.
The total of six moves.
$21 million.
$21 million in addition to the $40 million that we cut out of the original.
Senator Spoglin was listing all those moves, and I couldn't find them all, and so I was trying to follow them in the spreadsheet.
They are all.
I see the six. I do see the six.
And they are all on our spreadsheet, our most recent spreadsheet. All of the changes.
But to be fair, you put the money in. You did make some other moves, but you did add the money. You added it to the zoo, right?
Which is the House position.
Right, so yeah, that's a total of $15 million, I believe.
Right.
$15 million there.
We cut $15 million from our projects to meet the House project.
To the zoo, and then the other $6
million. Well, I'm not sure where we put each of those six, but we met the House.
Well, Mr. Chair, unfortunately, even though we were at the, 948 figure GO, we were at $5 million. So we had to use the first $6 million to pull us below the billion mark. So we were clear down to 943 GO. And we had started at 990, so we were $47 million down on just GO, just to keep under what we had agreed upon.
I appreciate that. I just was, like I said, I was confused after listening to the litany of changes that I heard you made, and I didn't think they really had been made. I mean, accepting your own number isn't really a change, and so that's why I didn't make a lot of
Mr. Chair, sense so much. You know, I do have to comment on your memo here of what happens when we go from 55 to 50. The House came in at 40, we came in at 55, so what we could do is put out a sheet showing how much extra these facilities or these institutions got because we went from your 40 to 50. So I think this was uncalled for.
I have seen it. If you'd like to see it, I could get that for you as well, Senator. And that's why, after seeing that list, that list was presented to me, that's why in our first offer on the very first day, we agreed to go to $55 million in HEPA for Minsky.
And now, Mr. Chair, you're not suggesting that we go down below 50, right?
No,
I still like 55. Okay, you don't want us to go below 50?
No.
Okay, we won't.
Okay, so we move back to the original bill.
Okay. I don't think there's anybody on my side who wants to go below 50. So.
I don't want to go below 50.
Okay. That's great. Well, I think that I am going to, unless somebody else has any comments, and I know Senator Pappas felt pretty strongly that on Monday you'd be able to get the job done since I was unable to, and I'm certainly looking forward to it. And Senator Scobler, if I'm wrong in my count of six moves, let me know, because you did seem to have more than that, and so you did move six times, and I appreciate that, but I just didn't appreciate, frankly, being read the riot act. About all the great moves you've made when the photo was really sick.
Mr. Chairman, if I read the Riot Act, then I apologize. I really don't want to do that. I really hope that we can communicate. We've had some really good discussions with Representative Norris and Representative McNamara and Representative Hausman, and it's been very cordial and very constructive, and I think we should be doing that across the table in public as opposed to just doing it in private. So I think that'd be a great way to start the week. I'll look forward to it because we'll have a much better time.
And I'll see if we can get a tape, and we'll look at that, what the issue is, and we'll see if I'm wrong or right, but I've been wrong several times just today. So, any other comments or suggestions? And we sure look forward to trying to get this done. I apologize to everyone that we were unable to reach an accord. I do have to say, as I told the House conference, that we're busy trying to get something done. For one reason or another, I don't believe people want to get something done today, and I think that's very unfortunate. And six moons ain't going to get it done.
Mr.
So
Chair,
we'll see you next
Chair,
week.
I would just like to say, in my opinion, we have made some progress, etc. It hasn't been a total, you know, effort that's not produced some proof. So I'm going home optimistic.
Sure, I should say, just for the record, too, we met with them individually. There was not a quorum. So at most, there were just two members of the House present when they invited us here. So we're not. I just want that to be said to the record. So. And again, once again, I think they're very constructive and very open, and I compliment them for that, I think.
Now, our preference is to do it, you know, if you want to have a private meeting or a couple of people, I think that's always helpful, but I'm not a big fan, nor are you, of the backroom deal.
I'm not either. That's why I hope that we can be talking across the table about money and accept each other's proposals. I think that should be first on our agenda.
All right. That's great.
There's many things that we agree on. We can be accepting them, and then we can deal with the things we disagree on later.
Do you know, Senator, when you want to call the next meeting yet? Do you want to announce that for the calendar?
It'll be Monday. I don't know. Any ideas?
Mid-afternoon.
Session at 11?
Well, yeah, they got on a schedule on Monday.
So the House.
We have finance, I think, at 9 and the floor session at 11. So.
I don't know how long that's going to last. I suppose you have floor session at
11.
So maybe, you know, we used to say a half an hour after the last one.
Sounds great.
Getting on, so.
That sounds great. Appreciate your time and willingness to try to get it done. Thank you.